What's poppin'? We're in the DealsIndeed.com studios for the Thursday show, and things are happening. Wow, things are happening. This Roseanne story just has so many lives, and of course the White House responded, which seemed to take it. Is that taking it to another level? Is that just kind of a little sideshow?
That puts it in extra innings.
Well, for sure. Both, though. It is a sideshow, but it is the White House, regardless of who is in the office.
Yeah.
Responses are
different. You know, I generally don't like viewing. I prefer to view things in a vacuum, which it's much easier to do that. As in, she said something stupid, her show is off, and, you know.
The end.
Yeah, the end, but it's never the end.
It's too much noise.
And I go back to my original thought, which is the reigning thought in my life right now, is that too many people are talking. If Roseanne was just doing her if she was just doing her show and she wasn't on social media, all those people would still have their paychecks.
Right.
And by the way, God, I have so many serious issue shallow thoughts on this thing. It's unbelievable. I got so annoyed at Van Lathan on TMZ today.
Why? You know, what did Van say?
The Kanye hero.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, somebody's pointing out that, you know, there are a lot of people that when this show got signed up for another year have sort of extended themselves, as in, you know, maybe they bought a home or they made a commitment or they turned down another show. Mm. And I understand that. And that's, I mean, isn't that really... That sucks, end of story.
That sucks.
That's kind of how I saw it.
Sucks you have to go forward then from
there. Yeah, right. You got to figure out, oh, shit, next. Can I afford my house? And that's 200 people. And granted, Wanda Sykes and Sarah Gilbert, they're going to be fine. Right. They don't have to worry about it.
But DJ.
DJ, and not so fast. Anyway, Van Lathan come out and say, well, when you align yourself with Roseanne...
Oh, that's weak.
And I'm thinking, oh, come on, you dick.
How many
people in Hollywood would go, oh, I really need a job, but I don't know if I can work with Roseanne. She retweets conspiracy theories, and she's pretty – and she is. Well, she's very nuts. She's always been nuts.
Not only is that weak, but Sarah Gilbert's an executive producer. Maybe they were aligning themselves with her.
Sarah Gilbert aligned herself with Roseanne? Shouldn't she be collateral damage?
Breaking news, though. The rest of the cast has met today because they refused to give up on the fans.
Good luck with that.
According to a source, they're trying to save the show.
Oh, now that's funny.
You're not going to watch that?
Oh.
The Dan show?
Just kill her off and continue on.
They really think that Roseanne... Okay, first of all, the show is canceled because it's the Roseanne show. It's all Roseanne. It's her brain. It's her character.
I've watched you on television. You're a real beauty.
Now, Nelson's like, well, yeah, we've got the cancer out. No, she's the fucking show.
Oh, right.
Really? Do you think ABC is going to pay for 13 episodes of the Roseanne show without Roseanne?
No.
No. Well, let me rephrase that. Now I think they would pay, but a lot less.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of an intrigue to it.
All the star power would get a haircut.
Okay, but that's that is not because they're concerned about those people having jobs. That's because they see an opportunity, just as it did a year ago when Roseanne was Roseanne. By the way, she was no different a year ago.
No.
Well, it's funny you say that because she has tweeted before about Susan Rice looking. Like an ape with balls, I think was the quote. And that was in 2013. So this isn't a new revelation.
No, she
Roseanne
has.
Roseanne compares black people to apes.
Gorilla balls.
Roseanne, you know, I was thinking about the 88 show because people were calling it, you know, oh, another Roseanne reboot. And I thought, it's exactly a reboot because back in the late 80s, they were firing and unfiring writers every week. Tom Arnold, who she was married to, was selling stories about her to the Inquirer because he needed money. I mean, there was crazy things going on in that show, and she was a tyrant. And, you know, sometimes I think that it is true. Brett Butler, Roseanne, they're tough. They're bosses, and a lot of guys don't like it.
And women. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there are probably similar shows where guys are complete assholes, and they go, well, he's running the show. What do you expect? Right. So, you know,
it's a great
generally story. Speaking, Roseanne, I think she's a funny, she's good at what she does. She certainly taps into some kind of Americana, and it's too bad that social media exists because the dumbest shit she thinks, she just... just barfs it out.
I think you're more of a racist than I am.
But it's all Ambien's fault. So did you get a pass?
But true, that's part of the noise. It's
yeah,
the Ambien defense saved quite a few people who ran over others when they were just sleep driving.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say this.
For a while, it was a thing.
About that. look at all the people who have driven head-on into trucks on Ambien. And who was it? Was it one of the Kennedys?
Oh, Patrick.
On Ambien. Yeah. Did he hit a barrier by the Capitol or something?
Yeah, and then he didn't know where the F he was.
And I thought today that Ambien, by making a statement that there's no research that it makes you racist. Are they having fun with this?
That's kind of funny. Yeah, I think it's kind of funny.
I was certainly...
racism's not one of our side effects. Lean
towards funny, but are Ambien side effects funny? I mean, really?
No, actually, you should look at that list. Oh, my God.
What about that black dude that had all that Cialis?
So,
Well, Ambien, we were touching earlier. We were talking about how Tiger Woods, Ambien was good for Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Because, he liked to bang on it.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer liked to coach on it.
There is kind of a raging column about Ambien sex and how great it is. But the thing about it is that you forget.
Oh.
Well.
Afterwards.
Thank God. Yeah, all the horrible things you did.
Yeah. Or,
a horrible person you were with.
If you need to forget.
You don't feel very much when you're on the stuff.
It was like Arrested Development. Remember Job? Will Arnett's character used to take a pill after he did something hideous so that he'd forget it later. He'd feel better.
That's kind of understandable. Not better. Ambien sex. Yeah, this is...
Maybe that's why Tiger had so many women. He didn't realize it.
Oh, that could have been a great
excuse. Surprise.
You know, honestly, I've thought about that whole Tiger Woods stretch when he had... It seemed that he had about 20 women who really thought he dug them.
Right.
That seems like such an all-day job. I would be so exhausted. 20 people? Well,
it
seems like there's got to be something, some drug fueling your ability to pull that off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe it is Ambien. I don't know. Ambien sounds incredible and horrible at the same time, like every other drug.
Sure.
So anyway, is there a way to play the Sarah Sanders White House response? Because I thought this was I don't know why I didn't see this coming. When I heard it, I was like, oh, what's wrong with me?
What?
Trump is bitching out ABC for, well, when people fucked up things about me, I didn't mind.
Mm. Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, he wanted an apology. He loves apologies.
Oh, right. From others?
Yeah.
Let's see. And she said that it is sort of funny that because Trump called Roseanne and congratulated her on the show, I think it was sort of implied that, well, he should apologize too, or he should say something about this.
No way. By who?
Well, like, I
mean, it was kind of being implied.
Really?
I know you disagree, but I still, the whole political thing because she's pro-Trump and that's why she's fired, I'm not buying that. It's because
It's why she's fired. I'm saying it's a lot easier to fire her being pro-Trump.
So
I think
she
there's
said
a lot
about
of people
ben,
that are very,
so she
very
said
happy
it about
this.
Ben Carson, she'd still, that show would still be on?
I don't know.
No way.
Well,
I think the way it happened was so fast. I mean, it was like bam, gone. I mean, that I would think at least that thing would have stretched out for a couple days with some back and forth.
That is surprising.
But I think her Trump connection makes her such a huge target.
Yeah.
No matter where she is,
you can almost
she says.
You can almost see what the writing on the wall was going to be. It was going to be protest, and then they were going to lose sponsorships anyway.
Oh, right. Get ahead of that.
So now you're saving it before they even have to address it, the big sponsors of the show.
Sure, they look like heroes as well.
Well, maybe, but wait a second. Remember Laura Ingraham, who bullied a shooting survivor, which she did not do, by the way, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think
not totally different. That was, she made a politically incorrect comment. She bullied a child. I mean, that's...
Well, Roseanne also targeted him. Hog.
Roseanne is
in the crosshairs of almost everyone.
Well, I'm not sure who
racism
Roseanne...
is a different level.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Bullying a child?
Sorry. Racism is different.
Children versus black people?
Disagree with it, but it absolutely
Wait,
is.
Wait, children?
He's an old child.
Children!
Yeah.
Not a child anymore.
Different level. I didn't make the rules.
Wait, why... No, I'm not understand. I don't understand the rule. Children are children. They're not even fully formed adults yet.
He's a near adult.
Hog? No, but he's a child. You're bullying all children when you do that. She bullied one black person, so you're bullying all black, or you're saying bad things about all black people is the theory, right? She bullied all children.
Okay. She bullied.
Why
all
is
children.
David Hogg a less sympathetic figure than Valerie Jarrett?
Because of race.
Oh right, yeah.
But he's a child.
Gender.
He's a
gender
child.
As well.
I'm being
gender.
Semi-facetious, but I'm sort of serious.
Sorry, it's the biggest sin of this country. It is a different. I know that bothers people, but it is a different level.
Oh, but he's a dude, also. I think there's a gender difference too.
But wait,
like the Ben Carson
maybe,
example you
yeah,
gave.
Maybe
he's a guy. So there's the
okay. Yeah, you're right.
The
he's a guy. He's a guy. She's
a
black woman. She's a very successful black woman, but mm-hmm. she is a black woman. So yeah. Okay. Right. Although Roseanne didn't know she's black.
Because she's on Ambien.
I don't know.
That was
has the president spoken to Roseanne Barr, who we know has been a longtime friend of his, and why did he choose to address the ABC apology instead of the underlying issue of concerns about
as if we didn't know this is going to be the first question.
Right. I'm not aware of any conversations that have taken place. The president simply
crazy.
Calling out the media bias. No one's defending what she said. The president is the president of all Americans, and he's focused on doing what is best for our country. And you can see that in the actions that he's taken. You can see where he's focused on unemployment being at the lowest since 2000, opportunity investment zones to encourage investment in underserved communities, an opioid initiative to combat a crisis that impacts all Americans. And today,
talking.
The president
drives off the road every single time
to
try
with
medication
it at all.
That could actually
just
save
spit
their
out
lives.
The message.
And I'd point out that while the president signed that legislation and actually addressed America, two networks chose not to cover it and instead covered something totally different in palace intrigue. A massive piece of legislation that had bipartisan support that was life-changing.
Wait, I
want to
hear his bitching about the non-apology.
The Dreamweaver loop is playing. And everyone's had
that. Simply pointing out the bias. The president's pointing to the hypocrisy in the media, saying that the most horrible things about this president, and nobody addresses it. Where was Bob Iger's apology to the White House staff for Jemele Hill calling the president and anyone associated with him a white supremacist? To Christians around the world for Joy Behar calling Christianity a mental illness? Where was the apology for Kathy Griffin going on a profane rant against the president on The View after a photo showed her holding
she
President
apologized
Trump
though.
Decapitated
what about snowflakes?
Head? And where was the apology from Bob Iger for ESPN hiring Keith
what
Olbermann
about Whoopi Goldberg
after
when
his
a Trump head with a
laced tweets
gun
attacking the
up?
President as a Nazi and even expanding
and
Olbermann's
Snoop?
Role after that attack against
in his video?
The president's family? This is a double standard that the president is speaking about. No one is defending her comments. They're
he's a white guy.
He's also the president
he's
of the United States, and he works for us.
Yeah. Well, but he's still the president.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If Roseanne worked for us, I'd be a little pissed off and probably want her fired. Is she held public office?
But I think Sarah Huckabee Sanders, by the way, I was not expecting that response. I mean, I was not expecting the response of, where's my apology? That was not, I mean, he made it about him, which is impressive. I didn't know, I did not see that coming. I don't know, did I miss something? Did you see that coming?
Yeah, well, he tweeted that earlier.
Oh, well, but before he tweeted it.
Oh, no.
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't see it coming at all.
Well, I did write, though,
but
what
it isn't,
would be the opposite situation, the 180 degrees from that, from the other side? What would that, what is that, by the way? What is the
thank you very much, everybody.
Equivalent.
Thank you.
Sick burn from the left at the right. That is actually literally the same weight as this.
As Roseanne's comment?
Yeah.
God, I don't know. It's pretty
but
bad.
But once again, it's a comment about a black person. Who cares about the politics behind it?
Yeah.
Oh, a lot of people. Are
well,
you kidding me?
No, I know they do, but isn't that a little misguided or no?
Yeah, generally I think it is, but it were no matter which way you're coming. I mean, this is still a big ABC show. Normally, when you have a large entity like that and somebody fucks up, they apologize and they go, okay, we got to keep this thing going somehow. It's making a lot of money. But in this case, I really think they just said, nope, get out of here.
That's why I wonder if she was on a – well, she must have been on thin ice with them to begin with
because
of all the tweets.
I suspect that may be true. I don't know. I think – what I can't figure out, honestly, is why ABC wasn't worried about this a lot sooner.
Yeah, that's
a year
that's
ago.
Fair. Well, like,
well, I mean, they took the show on ABC, saying, you know what, we're gonna make some fucking money. Roseanne reboot. I could see that going. They were absolutely right. It killed. It was the number two show. When have we seen something as successful just blown out? Over what? It's, well, I don't want to say one dumb comment. She made a lot of dumb comments. That was really dumb.
Over social media.
Yeah, over social media.
I'm here with you today to apologize.
That's right. There's
and
this.
And ask for forgiveness.
That's close. Sterling is close.
Yeah.
It's the closest thing I can think of. He
well,
lost
Sterling
his team.
Was also recorded privately.
Well, I know, but these are her words. She put him out there publicly.
No, I'm just saying, in Sterling's defense,
oh, yeah, no,
he was recorded privately. I mean, that was by a chick he was fucking paying millions of dollars. I mean, the whole thing was horrible. Seriously, Shell thought. He did say it, though.
I don't think it's worthy of even discussing.
I mean, if you think about Roseanne a year ago, is anything that
I'm
different?
I'm not a racist.
She's still crazy.
Her conspiracy theories were really wild. I was just sort of looked at that and I was very puzzled. I didn't know whether she was trying to be funny or what the hell that was all about.
I was having a hard time. I guess I don't know it. There's a Chelsea Clinton conspiracy theory that I don't know. What's the George Soros Clinton? Chelsea Soros Clinton? What was that?
Her husband, Mark Mavinsky, is his nephew. Was she, you know,
Clinton? He is?
No, that was what Roseanne said. He's the son of a senator.
Where are these fucking conspiracies? Does she listen to Alex Jones?
She's watching something else that's inspiring those.
The one thing about Soros that she said that is kind of true is he is funding a bunch of local elections for district attorneys because that's his political interest. It happens on both sides.
Well, so are the Koch brothers.
Exactly. The Koch. it happens on both sides, but it always gets built up into these grand conspiracies where they're trying to ruin the Constitution on either side. And I think it's stupid.
I go back to I do not understand these people who are so angry and blast away on social media all day. Especially Roseanne, her show's number two. What the fuck is she doing?
Right. I know. She needed someone should have given her like a phony phone or. So she could just put that stuff out there and think it was there. She'd feel
what a
purged.
Great idea.
I know. Someone come up with that.
The phony phone has to have a bunch of other stuff on it, too, though, so you think it's on there.
Well, no, just a phony Twitter app.
Retweets.
So she puts it to a fake
It's really
Twitter
cool for people who are just inappropriate. There's a
idea.
Lot of people on there.
Oh, yeah. Everyone.
And they're never on the real Twitter, of course.
Well, let me just say that I apologize.
How Twitter wouldn't be as much fun, would it then? I don't know. The Charlie Sheen response was in.
Yeah. That's there are a couple.
Adios, Roseanne.
Why is Charlie Sheen taking pleasure in this?
Well, because
that's a guy who
he had
totally
a public
blew
downfall.
It.
It's a series. Yeah, good riddance. Hashtag not winning. Hey, and then
this might be a good day to call Charlie.
The last one is the runway is now clear for our reboot, and so his own personal interest is involved.
Okay, this is the guy who he hammered for being a Jew.
Yes.
Right.
Uh huh.
Yeah, Chuck Lorre.
Is he really the person who should be gloating about Roseanne?
No one remembers.
That's so Charlie.
That's so 2012.
That's
2014, wasn't
it? Look how much redemption he received since then.
Oh, wait, that's from the whole winning Tiger Blood.
He gave women, or possibly could have given others, HIV.
God, you know, I forgot how long ago that was. We were at Riff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That was a couple years before we left, wasn't it?
It was 2012.
When was the crazy show? Was that 2012, the crazy
show?
And
when he had those AIDS, I went to my synagogue and I prayed for him.
Thank you, Donald. Donald does not get enough respect for that.
Okay, so the Sheen thing's crazy.
Looks like it was 2011.
2011, okay. Yeah. Tom Arnold. Who thanked Bob Iger of ABC for putting the financial success of the show to the side and doing the right thing. Tom Arnold, if Roseanne is eliminated, he is double eliminated.
No more sitcoms for
no
you.
No one without her. What? Really?
I mean,
he's her ex, and I'm sure they hate each other.
He would really not exist if it weren't
No, he does
for
not
Roseanne.
Exist without Roseanne. So if she doesn't exist, he doesn't exist as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. He's not allowed to be bigger than her, is he?
Mm-mm.
I won't stand for it.
No, there should never be a reality where Tom Arnold can triumph.
Let me ask you a weird question. Do you generally like Roseanne?
I don't know.
I mean, take yesterday away.
I know, because when I watched that show, when it came back, my thoughts, it was very distracting because it was just very, it was like watching Hoarders, and I get uncomfortable when I watch that too.
Oh, yeah. That freaks me out.
She has an uncluttered life. She has a very cluttered life.
Yeah, I know. That's tough.
It's kind of like...
But, boy, it's hard not to watch once in a while.
And then I also did not like the sitcom quality of the show, too. It was hard for me to watch because I don't like those laugh track kinds of
shows.
Yeah,
it's funny.
No laugh track.
I don't watch sitcoms very much.
Turn off that television, y'all!
Almost never.
I don't really
judge her on the show. As far as I know, I mean, I really didn't watch the show. The show was a success, and I certainly respect her for having a very, really successful show twice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty amazing, 30 years apart.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, being able to, like, sort of keep that going a little bit in between. I mean, I remember her on Stern talking about her nut farm, and she was funny, but...
That is weird thinking about it. What was going on all that time between the two Roseanne shows? What was she doing? Was she doing stand-up?
I don't remember.
Did she have another show that didn't work or something? I just can't even remember her doing anything else.
Made enough money and invested it.
You're right.
Yeah,
she
that
did.
That was the case. She just sort of kicked back.
Very rerun. I think probably when that show ended... She had alienated so many people, she probably could not get a new show. It probably took this long for her to have a fresh slate, if she had a fresh slate.
Oh, right.
I don't know. I'm not sure why she would have a fresh slate, because her social media was nuts.
Jim Jeffries made such an interesting point about apologies and things like that. And he said the thing that's different with who was he talking about? Mel Gibson?
Oh, yeah.
Mel Gibson...
Charismatic.
Did all those things. And then he went away for a really long time. Now he's back and everybody
loves him. Gibson wasn't gone that long.
I know, but he picked an interval of time.
Who was he? Who the fuck was he?
I'm trying to think of did he lose anything right then? Did we say, Mel Gibson, no. Or was he just not doing anything at the time? I don't remember.
Plus, remember, nobody cared back then.
He was still making movies. He was making movies.
He was directing. He was producing. He just wasn't on screen yet.
Right.
But we know what he's done. We know what he's said. And yet movies come out. People work on them. People promote them. I mean, sort of like Woody Allen. I mean, look at all the Woody Allen stuff that's gone on. And by the way, people are still fighting over Woody Allen, which is really strange to me because he married his
stepdaughter.
Yeah, his stepdaughter. He married
Woody Allen. Oh, that guy is 85 pounds of pure sex.
And I don't think has anyone argued about the nude photos? I don't think there's an argument. I think the argument is whether Sun Yi was 15 or whether she was 18.
Right.
And I think he says she was 18, which to me is like,
she looks younger.
That's not the argument. You took nude pictures of your wife's adopted daughter. What the fuck are – that is so far outside the pale, and then you fucking married her? Are you kidding me? What is he, 87 and she's 40?
Plus, on top of all that, he's Woody Allen. He could date anyone.
Well,
he could have affairs outside of Mia Farrow with any of the hot actresses who are in his movies if he wanted to. He didn't have to go to the stepdaughter who was
– true.
Was like, 30, 40 years younger than him?
I just think all you have to do is look at the strident voices about Roseanne, and you'll see people who may have turned up in a Woody Allen movie or a Mel Gibson project, and you go, and I'm not trying to do the, well, you did it! But it's kind of interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, this is a really blunt, quick, cut the cord, not stand for it, not survivable, reruns over, you're over, you're done.
No more.
No more TV shows for you.
TV shows for you. She'll do stand-up, I bet, again.
Yeah, she will rise again. Yeah. She will. I don't know what form.
Mel Gibson, after that, the TMZ story, it was 2006, the whole sweet titch Jewish rant.
Yeah, but then there's
the first one?
The wife.
No, I know, but the the one that really mattered was the whole confrontation with the sugar tits. Sugar. Thank you, Trudy.
Yeah.
Thank you for that correction.
Wait, but there was a lot of stuff about Jews, and there was also...
That was a separate incident.
The same it was the same thing to the cops. Yeah, and it involved the police. Anyways, he apologized for his despicable behavior. They were blurted out in a moment of insanity, met with Jewish leaders, and then went to rehab. That's how it used to be.
Eh. True. Yeah,
but
simple.
But then we heard the screaming phone call with the girl and that green thing.
Which was so amusing.
I know, you know, it really was. It's hilarious. Now,
this thing says that
some of the best.
I know. Why do I love hearing that? Every time it comes on, I just think, oh, I'm going to get a great laugh
smile
out of this.
Smile and blow me.
But hey, I mean, think of some of the stuff he said. But that, I mean, made movie sense.
Yeah.
And then no problem.
It said that he was so furious at her for blacklisted for about a decade.
All right. Oh, no, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't. You sound like Derek.
He was so furious.
He said stuff, hasn't
he?
He
was making
stuff?
Him smoke, too. That one was just like, kill
no,
me.
It wasn't.
He sounded like such an... I mean, he...
Yeah, he was totally
I guess, you know, I just can't help comparing, and I don't want to defend
Roseanne.
You just
love Roseanne. That's all there's
no,
to
I do. I kind of like her. I
heard her favorite actress.
I heard her on Stern maybe 3 weeks ago. Yes, Howard Stern had her on. Shame on Howard Stern! I thought she was, I don't know, she's very, there's something really breezy and open about her.
I don't know, she's kind of caustic in a way that's funny. I mean, that was kind of
well,
her.
Caustic, breezy, caustic. I don't know. She's very open book. She's very honest. She's had a lot of problems. I mean, a lot of problems. Yeah. And going back to, she said she was molested. Remember that whole thing? And her parents have sworn, no, never happened.
Right. That was part of her, what she was doing. She was writing books
she was going through a lot of this stuff with Howard. And it was just sort of like, yeah, it's my life, and you know, I got through this, got through that, got through this. And half of it, I'm like, I don't even know if I believe half of this stuff. But at the same time, I don't. She's always funny. She's not my favorite comedian by any means.
Mel was gone for about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, in between projects.
Mel, however, had the sort of developed the reputation of an insane guy. On screen.
Yeah.
With the
Mad Max.
Lethal Weapon, Mad Max. You know, people I don't think were maybe surprised that he was in real life.
I don't know. I always thought he was the funny wild guy that chicks loved.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed like the lovable Mel Gibson for a long time. Yeah, a lot of
really
chicks loved him.
He was super hot.
And then he got less hot and he was less, it was less funny.
Forgivable.
Less forgivable. So,
she wrote the book, and then she had the reality TV show from 2011 and 2018.
Roseanne's
Nuts.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Okay.
With her.
Which would be a reality show would be a good thing
that's
for
a
her.
Good,
I could see her doing another one.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
But there was one other thing that I thought was really strange about this, and this maybe I'm seeing conspiracies. I'll just call it another serious Chappelle thought, and that was that, okay, today was announced that she's going on Joe Rogan's show, his podcast, tomorrow, and that's going to be her big sort of, I guess, apology, explanation, I don't know, whatever.
Jenny did that on Twitter. If you were Rogan, wouldn't you be bummed? Like, just stop tweeting. To my show.
Oh, I think he'll do very
well.
His
podcast?
His show.
He doesn't have a radio show, right?
No, it's a podcast.
TV called a radio show today? So now there's no distinction?
I heard that too. Did you hear someone say she'll be on a radio show?
A radio show.
You know what? I heard that 3 times today, and I read it. I think it might have been the Washington Post that said that.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, is there something against Joe Rogan? Why are they not saying whose show it is, which is absolutely significant and part of the story? Is Joe Rogan a bad person that I don't know about?
I wonder if that's just oversimplifying for people who don't understand, you know, what Joe Rogan was.
But wouldn't you put the name of the show? I mean, this is a huge story, the lead story, and she's going to talk about it tomorrow on this guy's show. Why would you not say his name?
I don't know.
If she was going to be on Stern, would they have mentioned Stern?
Absolutely.
Isn't he
Joe Rogan? He does 1 million downloads a show. I mean, that's the biggest podcast
there
is.
What kind of radio show is this?
It is bigger than
podcast
is bigger than virtually any radio show in the country. I mean, there's few. There's Howard. There's Rush Limbaugh. there's, okay, maybe there's 10 radio shows bigger. Why is Joe Rogan's podcast not worthy? I mean, am I making a big deal out of nothing?
I don't know, because I don't listen to it very often. Joey's listening.
I don't either.
To
it. I
don't know why he'd be persona non grata.
Yeah.
What, but
do you think it's weird that they wouldn't mention his name, though?
Doesn't he rant quite a bit?
He's on Glenn Beck. Wouldn't they mention Glenn Beck?
Yeah, probably.
I don't know.
Who didn't mention
him? He was on Mark Maron? Wouldn't he say he was on Mark Maron?
Because they love Mark Maron.
Mark Maron's podcast is smaller than Joe Rogan's podcast. Joe Rogan's podcast is not something no one knows about. He's on the top of every list. Agreed. iTunes, Google Play, whatever it is. There's Joe Rogan, and then there's everyone else.
Oh, bet he's pretty mad about it.
I would be pissed. Yeah, if I were him, I would be pissed. I mean, I'm sure people will find out if they want to hear it.
For sure.
Okay,
it's Today's show.
If nobody else thinks it's a big deal, I'll let it go. But
no,
I thought it was
the Today Show that didn't mention it.
The Today Show and Good Morning America,
because
I think,
because it used to be on NBC.
Oh.
It was the Today Show, wasn't it?
I think it was.
Yeah.
That's
I don't think Good Morning America said Joe Rogan show either, though. I don't see NBC being mad because he's not on, what's that stupid show with the eating bugs and all that? Fear Factor?
Oh, I was thinking of, yeah, News Radio.
News Radio. Fear Factor was NBC too, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
I loved Fear Factor, by the way.
Everyone loved Fear Factor.
Yeah, that was a good show.
I just could not get over how often he was yelling on the show. That was to me.
He does. He's kind of a yeller. I think that's why I'm not in the habit of listening, is because he rants maybe too much. I don't know.
It's really
funny. I'm prejudiced. I like this show.
I agree. That's why I listen to other shows. I want to see what are they doing that we're not doing. And I saw it was the number one podcast. So I'm going to listen to it with an open mind.
Yep.
And I did. And I think Joe does a lot of things really well. So, I'm not going to put him down or anything. I don't, I'll try to be fair about something like that. I did read a lot of his reviews, though, because there were some things about his show that I got a little, not hung up on, but I thought, I made a few mental notes. So I read the reviews, and I noticed that as the years go by, there's some complaints that keep surfacing about his show.
Oh.
And one of them is that he smokes too much pot and he repeats himself a lot.
Oh. Yeah. Hey.
Because he's a stoner and he admits it.
So
doesn't he? Doesn't Joe?
Yeah,
he talks
sure.
about that.
He's out about a lot of, experiments.
Yeah, experiments with, is it DMT? Is that a drug?
Stuff,
is DMT a drug that you take?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Joe.
Mm. And
sure, your son knows what DMT is.
Oh, I know. The other thing.
Things I have to think before I say around here.
No.
Don't act like you don't know about drugs when you do.
I get
on both sides.
I get lectured about the little amount of what I know about both that and electronics and the.
Oh, yeah.
LSD,
wow.
PCP, heroin, cocaine. What else you want to know?
That's Zeus.
Like Trudy had a rough moment about a technical issue today.
I did.
Certainly talk about that.
I'll try to recover while you're doing that.
Yeah, I saw the story. I will save that for 2 minutes from now. Oh, boy. That was a
nice.
Stinger.
Brace yourself.
Probably tougher than Thanks for Listening to the Podcast by a mile.
Almost.
Oh.
I get that, too.
Mm. Popcorn, foosball, massage chairs, smiling faces, free Jeep Wrangler loaner cars. Exactly what you'll get when you get your next vehicle from Zot M59 Chrysler Jeep. When you bring your vehicle in for service at Zot Chrysler Jeep, they will give you a new Jeep Wrangler for free to drive until yours is fixed. That's something you will not find at any other Jeep dealer in town, period. Plus, during Zot's Jeep celebration, do they call every other Jeep dealer and find out if they give loaner cars before they say that?
Oh, I bet they do, yeah.
Because that's one of those things that if I was wrong, I would just apologize later. I mean, it seems seem like anyone would.
I think they kind of really have to.
Maybe they do, okay. All right. I'm not trying to take anything away from them.
No.
Just wondering.
I mean, there are some, literally, who will just be like, get here, sit in our room,
I would think they would have been corrected by now if someone else were doing that.
Sure.
Plus, during Zot's Jeep celebration event, you can lease a new loaded Jeep Compass Limited 4x4. It's just $198 a month. That's lease a loaded Jeep Compass Limited four-wheel drive at $198 a month. Surf the rest of their sick deals and massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. It's the last day of the month. Maz is wildly pulling his month together.
I hear. He's almost there, right?
I talked to his boss today. Yeah, he's not at the top of the leaderboard, but he's respectable again.
That's pretty wild, though. A dozen?
I think he's going to be like 13 or 14. Wow. And he took, didn't he take 3 weeks off this month? He's worked like 4 days.
How is he doing it?
I don't know. And we've had people buying cars. Every day he's not there, somebody's buying a car, it seems like. Connie bought that vehicle on Saturday. And Maz was arguing with her on the podcast yesterday because she told me that she told him she was coming in. And then she didn't tell me that. So Stacy apparently took care of things. But
well, Stacy.
That somebody could get credit for that. She probably waived her commission anyway. That's
isn't that rule one of sales? Tom is always right.
Exactly. So far, that's the way it seems.
I heard a lot more about Alan, by the way, Tom's Pulitzer Prize winning friend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming up after these.
I'm still questioning.
The connection to that is a lot looser than what Tom made it out to be.
I'm still questioning his Van Halen data. I was just trying to make one small point, and I just got faced on it. I don't understand it at all. I read that book. We talked to the manager, a year ago?
Yeah, it was about exactly a year ago, in June.
And one of the ugliest things in the book was the last Roth album that Michael Anthony, after the album had been out and sold a couple million copies, they said, oh, by the way, you're taking a smaller royalty on this. Or they might have even said, you're taking a salary on this. And it had already sold a couple million copies when they did that. They said, sign here. And he did. Which, wow. I know, it's really something about Michael Anthony. And Alan said that they were jealous because Michael Anthony had more money than them.
Yeah.
You know,
he didn't have any songwriting.
Man, well, it's a conspiracy. It's what Alan works is conspiracy theories.
Michael Anthony... What is he? Was he wealthy to begin with? He was like a billionaire before he was in Van Halen.
I don't think so. No.
He didn't make more money. Come on.
Well, he said he'd save more money by 84. Those Eddie Van Halen with writing credits, wouldn't he?
Maybe blew through a lot of it for alcohol.
That's true. How do people blow all their money in alcohol? Doesn't it seem impossible?
Did you read the Sammy book where
Sammy Hagar?
Yeah, he shows up and they all have their own bottle of wine that they're drinking straight out of.
Yes.
Not in a wine glass. They don't bother with that. No, they just drink out of straight out of the bottle.
The clip in the hair we're talking about yesterday.
Yeah. Oh boy.
I feel a powerful connection to the history of famous bass players. Like what's his name from The Who? Or that guy from Led Zeppelin who wasn't Page, Plant, or Bonham? Those are the only two I know for sure.
John Entwistle and John Paul Jones. There were a lot more. Why does it seem like there were so many great bass players back then, and there aren't so many? I guess there just aren't so many bands now.
Oh no, yeah, because it's all electronic.
I mean, who is the great new bass player of the last 10 years? Can anyone?
Moog.
Flea.
Flea from the last 10 years? That's from the 90s, really.
The dude from 21 Pilots, I guess. He's the only one. He's like the only prominent one that I'm really thinking of.
People rage about him.
I don't know. He just
wait. Who's the?
I was gonna say Claypool, but that's
25 years ago. I mean,
who's the bassist?
So weird.
Rage Against the Machine. What is the new incarnation of that?
Oh,
Prophets of Rage.
Yeah.
Prophets of Rage.
I just sometimes I feel like rock and roll ended around 2002 or 2004. And then there's Greta Van Fleet and a few other bands. What, Maroon 5? No, those guys aren't even that young. They're 40, aren't they? And
do they play music? Do they play actual instruments?
Yes, Maroon 5, yeah. What am I talking about?
I'm not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
Dr. Roche still offering 6 Zorona treatments with breast augmentation. A great deal for spring while it's still spring. Get ready for summer with fuller breasts and slimmer waist. They are busy over there doing a lot of surgeries. A lot of liposuction, too, I understand.
Oh, yeah.
And they are doing those nipple implants, which I thought was kind of jokingly passed on. And he said, oh, yeah, we've done that.
Wow.
They shoot Juvederm or whatever and make women's nipples bigger.
Pump them up?
Who'd have known? Who'd have thunk it? But, if they're doing anything like that, they're doing it at Dr. Roche's office. And then they've got the 9 Zorona treatments. If your friend pays for 9, you get 9 free. Or you pay for 9 and your friend gets 9 free. That seems like an easy thing to figure out. Plus $250 off Body Tight. Call for a consult. Tighten your body at any of the places. Triceps, stomach, neck seems to be the Maureen McCormick
syndrome.
Yes, exactly. tighten your body with Body Tight or kill the fat around your waist with Zorona. Call for an appointment, 248-338-1110, 248-338-1110, or www.droch. I'm looking at them pretty pictures. The office of Dr. Roche.
Tim Comerford from Rage Against the Machine. Remember the
That dude.
Video Music Awards?
Right.
When he climbed the scaffolding?
Oh, yeah.
He's insane.
I saw them at when they came to DTE. Was it last year or the year before? Prophets of Rage. And it was actually a really fun show.
Yeah, I bet. Because it's, who is it? It's the Rage Against Machine guys plus in Cypress Hill?
Cypress, yeah.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, since you guys are, we're talking a little bit about rock and roll here. Has anyone heard the Weezer version of Africa?
Oh, no, not yet.
Can you bring that up?
Blow
this was
that
an internet campaign by some girl. Why did she want Weezer to do the song Africa?
Because she heard it in Stranger Things, the actual Toto version, and Weezer must be one of her favorite bands. She's 14. I don't know how.
Yeah,
I know.
Like I was telling you,
I think that's
song,
a campaign that should have been stopped.
Mm-hmm. The song's been all over the internet lately.
I agree.
It's become a meme and
Africa?
Cool.
Because of the the Netflix Stranger Things association.
You know, it really bums me out. A lot of times I'll be, listening to a psychedelic Furs song or Elvis Costello, Elton John, whatever it is. And I just like reading comments because they're funny a lot of times. Sometimes they're really funny. And people always go, oh, I'm here from Stranger Things. It's like, oh, shut up. It's not a Stranger Things song. It's an Elton John song or it's a Toto song or whatever. Don't tell me you're from this stupid commercial or whatever.
Hey, people who come late to the party.
Yes, I don't mind that they're late, but just say, I love the song. I didn't even know about it. Fuck.
Why don't you just reply to them and say, I liked it before it was cool.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm pretty sure that there's people who went to the YouTube of A2M I Got Bitches and said, Drew and Mike sent me here.
Oh,
well, that's different.
Oh, well, look at that.
Oh, somebody just emailed in wanting to know what that song was. I Like Bitches?
A2M? I Got Bitches?
I Got Bitches, okay. That reminds me of...
Yeah, no thanks to this cover, and I love Weezer.
How about
sounds
the
too much like
wait,
the original.
Oh, that
much
was the original.
Why
that
even
was,
bother?
That was Toto, wasn't it?
No, that was Weezer.
No, that was...
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It wasn't?
Wait,
yeah, that was
let
Weezer.
Let me hear
it. It absolutely was. It was too close to the original.
Oh, yeah.
Well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
This is a joke. This must be a joke.
No, you see these play.
I don't joke about things.
Oh, it is different.
Stop it.
But it's the point.
Exactly.
Okay, bad idea. Too many people talking again. A 14-year-old running her trap, and people go along with it just because what? Because she's 14?
They didn't make it their own.
They did Rosanna, too.
They did?
Just to kind of spoof her.
Yeah, I think they did this one first, the troller.
Stop it.
They only want them to do hold the line.
No!
No,
draw the line. All I want to do when I wake up in the morning
is see your eyes. Ugh. This song doesn't fit them at all.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
How do they fit this into the juxtapositioning between Hash Pipe and...
Look at all the people that need to be shut up. We don't need all this exchange of ideas. There's too many bad ideas, and people are following up on them. Rosanna, Roseanne, ironically, the same day.
Ugh.
Oh, this is really bad.
So at different ends of the continuum.
I think I should work with them and do it.
Rosanna and Roseanne. Oh, yeah.
Now, see, these guys made it their own.
It did. I like this better than the Rosanna.
I do.
How many times have we listened to this?
It's got 17,000 upvotes.
Oh. These guys rock!
We leave it together. We'll still be farewell. Yeah! Maybe we come back.
Here he is, trying his best.
Here we go.
I am so good at music.
Okay, Trudy.
Sorry, Derek.
Trudy, it's interesting. You were watching Jeff Rossum on, was that today's show?
Yeah, Rossum to the Rescue.
Rossum to the Rescue today. I was, and I was paying close attention, and he was telling people that the Russians have...
They've hacked
into
500,000.
Did you reset yours yet?
No, I didn't, but I was thinking about it. And he was telling you got to reboot, you got to unplug, you got to change your password. And I was thinking, Oh, I'm going to have to get Mark or Brandon to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
No, so I wasn't really worried about it. The first thing it was the math. I'm like, 500,000? Well, there's 380 million people in the country. What's the chance it's going to be mine? Almost zero.
Well, not everybody has a router.
I was scared by the math.
Well, okay. But, of that 380 million, yeah. A lot of fucking people have a router.
Right.
Like, I don't know. One out of how many?
Might
as well do the actual math.
Well, because nobody really can get TV the other way anymore, right?
Well, most,
they're like antennas.
Don't most households have a router?
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Got to be 70 million houses at least, right? Well, apartments too.
Yeah.
And maybe 100 million.
In businesses.
Okay, so.
Small businesses.
It's
so it's
probably
more,
one out of a probably. 200 chance. So.
I don't even have a fucking computer.
Rossum, actually, he breaks it down and he makes it look super simple. He made this a router.
He made all of us worried a little bit.
Yes.
Thinking, wow, this would really suck.
I just broke the internet.
He pointed out all the horrible things that can happen as a result of this. So Trudy, being a more proactive person than I, got right on the case. And what happened?
I when Zooves came home from his indignity of whatever he was doing earlier, it was a job. I quizzed him and I said, "Have you rebooted the router yet?" And he stopped what he was doing, shook his head, and looked at me like I was an idiot. And what are they telling you to do? And I was like, Ross with the rescue said you have to unplug it for 30 seconds, then plug it back in. And he looked at me and he goes, so that's 30 seconds that the Russians won't be able to hack you. And then they could just go right back about their hacking business.
Oh, while it was unplugged, you mean?
Yes.
Wow.
There's constant.
He's very nonplussed.
Do you think they're inside of
There's constant attacks from not just the Russians, but a lot of people on every router all the time.
So are you with Joe? Would you have shook your head the minute?
Yeah, they didn't hear you in Russia.
Probably not. I would have humored you. I would have humored you and just reset it. But I'm not your son.
Based on Mark's remark, I would say, yeah, if Mark is a peer, Joey is her son, it would make sense that he would shake his head because as a peer, you would go along with it just to be nice, but
it's the look I'm so familiar with.
Of course, it's his job to shake his head and just
to tisk tisk me, to give me the look of, oh my God, how stupid are you? And then, I'm like, but they said that this is the thing they had to do. They said, "Don't rush them to the rescue," and of course,
I know. So really, he co-opted the shame. You co-opted the shame that Rossum should have felt for doing the story. He should have been shaking his head at Jeff Rossum, and instead you got – that's kind of rough.
I know. I need Rossum to rescue me.
You were using television the way you use movies for information.
Yeah, I was.
And
it's
supposed to be an informative show.
And it's worked very well for me.
Yeah.
And it passed until this.
True, the history part. Should we call Sheen?
Yeah.
How you doing, Brandon?
I'm good. How are you?
What's going on?
We're calling whom?
Charlie Sheen.
Oh, great.
See if Two and a Half Men has been put back together yet to replace Roseanne.
Do we have a phone, though, since we didn't reboot our router?
Yeah.
Oh, look, it works.
Why didn't Zoops think of that?
I don't know. Because he doesn't believe it's true.
The Hall Financial Hotline is open.
So who can we expect? Is it Tony?
Tony.
Tony Dones.
Tony and I were close for about 3 weeks and I think I sent one too many texts. Yeah, didn't get a response.
It could be Charlie, but Tony answers his phone frequently.
He does.
It's hard to know how many is one too many.
I know. I know things were going on swimmingly when we were talking about him. I'm kidding. I actually had done kind of a deep dive on Tony. He's Charlie's best friend. I mean, forever.
Wow.
They're linked in work, business. And Tony plays a lot of charity softball games, and he's kind of a ringer.
Oh,
he's a very good player.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense because
Charlie's really into baseball. Oh, yeah.
Like you and Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. We've called once, I think, since we actually talked to Charlie.
Wait, why Survivor?
Tiger Blood.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Duh.
We should say we're at the gate, because that's what got Charlie to the phone.
Oh, no, that'll piss him off.
But it got him to the phone.
Duh.
Who was it who put the chick's stuff out at the gate?
Oh, that was Charlie's friend.
Ursula.
Hey, Tiger blood. Adonis DNA.
Actually, it was his assistant that put
that's right.
stuff
that's right.
in a garbage bag.
Oh, boy, that was
funny. Tony, though?
And I was banging 7-gram rocks and finishing them because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go.
You know what I love is... Hello? Oh. We in VM? Oh. Charlie? Charlie Sheen or Tony? It's the Drew and Mike Show in Detroit. We heard something to the effect that Charlie was suggesting 2.5 Men and replace Roseanne. Loved the idea and realized we haven't talked to Charlie in a good while and just were hoping he had some time. We're the guys that he mistook for some people at the gate, and we're actually calling on the phone. He apologized, gave us an interview.
Had a great time.
He had a ball. He was so happy he did it. And it's been a long time, 2 years, I think. So anyway, thanks, Tony, Charlie, whoever. Hope you're doing okay. If you don't call back, wish you well.
See you.
See you.
The run I was on made
see you on Friday.
Glenn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just looked like, you know, droopy-eyed, armless children.
Where was that coming from?
That is hilarious.
From?
Booger blood. Poo-poo DNA.
I loved his explanation for that, which was that he was taking excessive amounts of testosterone.
Duh.
I mean, just globbing it on, giant globs. Wasn't that what he said, more or less? Mm-hmm.
Wow, winning.
I thought that made a little sense, but did we speculate maybe there was...
More,
Did he say something else?
There had to have been.
Hey, kids, your dad's a rock star.
Seems like it.
That coming... Does that make all the glib comments coming out of your mouth like that? If
I don't
if
know.
Take way too much testosterone?
It's really an interesting...
Try it.
...thing. Yeah, I thought it certainly had something to do with his brain. I mean, he had to have the words in there.
Yeah. It just really set it all on fire. I do remember, I know what you're thinking is, though, there was something else. I forget what it was, though.
I think so. Was he an HGH?
Sorry if I offended you.
Is it possibly HGH? I don't think HGH would do that.
What was Tiger Blood? What did that end up being?
Tiger Blood. Adonis DNA.
It was so much fun. And, you know, honestly, when I saw him on the Today Show, what year was it when he said he had AIDS? Was that 2015 with Matt Lauer, ironically? I mean, how weird seeing a Charlie Sheen, Matt Lauer interview. Isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
God. It was so different than the Charlie Sheen of the Tiger Blood days. It was really kind of crushing. Yeah, it was like, oh,
where's
God,
fun Charlie?
Yeah, where's what happened to Charlie?
Where's the Charlie that's my entertainment?
Exactly. He was entertaining. Wow,
who was the MLB pitcher he was rolling with that was...
Brian Wilson.
Brian
from
Wilson.
The Giants.
That's right. The dude with the dyed
beard. Yeah. Which put Brian Wilson under all kinds of suspicion, by the way.
He had a career for what, 2 years?
He was great, though.
For 2 years.
That was pretty quick. Somebody.
Didn't he pitch for the Tigers for a second?
Did we sign him and then it turned out he couldn't pass a physical or something strange like that?
I don't think so. I don't remember that.
I remember them signing him for like a second.
By the way, not a sports podcast, but I enjoyed seeing Ian Kinsler blast a homer. If somebody has to hit a home run against the Tigers, I love Ian Kinsler, so that was kind of cool.
Are you going tonight to see
him? Tomorrow.
It's a hot ticket tonight.
Otani's going tonight. Yeah, Matt has the tickets. Maz blew me off last night, by the way.
Well, that's all. He had to go clean his house for mom.
Can you see Maz cleaning his house, by the way?
Yes, I could. Yeah.
I wasn't picturing that. Really? I was picturing
him. The mop.
I picture him supervising.
Oh,
don't get me wrong. I don't see him doing a good job, but I could see him doing it.
Yes, I see him throwing stuff in the closet. Or, you know, if there's an attic, maybe going up there. And then Kathy finding it like 6 months later and yelling at him all at once for like four different cleanups.
Or Sammy Maz going to put his coat away in the closet and opens up a bunch of old stuff. Papers falls on him.
Sammy Mazaway. Sam, what is Mrs. Mazaway's first name?
I don't know. Mama Maz?
I think it's funny. I was texting with Maz this morning. Always amusing. And because I was interested in one little fact.
I can't wait to find out what that was.
Let's see. That's it. Yes. I thought I remembered that Sammy Mazaway had been robbing the cradle. And in fact, I was correct. Sammy Mazaway was 34 years old when he married Mrs. Mazzaway, who was 19.
Yeah. Whoa.
Pretty nice. Hot.
Hubba hubba.
Nice.
Whoa, really?
And they've been married 57 years.
Oh, my nice. God.
Yes. And I texted Tom. He texted me, and I texted back. So, oh, hope you move some wheels today, because I thought he was at work. And then I thought, oh, no, he's picking up his parents, because he doesn't hesitate to take off work, right?
Right.
I just figured it only made sense. And he would go to work later, and he'd work a longer day. You know, he'd leave at 9 and say, oh, well, I work till 9. So, but I was wrong. Guess who was picking up Sammy and Mom Mazzaway?
Kathy.
Kathy's mom.
Oh. Really?
It seemed kind of interesting delegation.
Yeah. She wasn't busy.
Wait, does anybody know?
Neither was Tom, but she really wasn't busy.
Wait, does anybody know that that's the reason why he gave for not being somewhere?
He was at work.
Oh.
He was at work, yeah. But I just I wondered how that delegation took place. If he said, hey, I was off for our anniversary, and, you know, I just can't, or I'll put him in a Metro car, and Kathy interceded and said, no, I'll get my mom to do it, or if Tom went directly to the mom. I just really, because everything is interesting with Tom, all the connections, the tentacles.
Yes,
and
there's too many of them.
I know. And
he still isn't taking that shirt that he wanted signed like a month ago.
No, I think he wants Joey to do that.
But it's his shirt. He's
I know.
The one that brought
he
it
was
in
on the pod. He was a guest on the podcast.
Explain the whole story.
Maz,
this is how exhausting he can be.
Yeah, and this
he never
okay.
replied to my text last night either about it.
No, he didn't, and he won't. About what? 3 months ago?
Yes.
Maz was on a podcast. If some guys in Windsor do a sports podcast,
bullshit.
He called in. Then he tells them. I think they said, "Hey, can we get a shirt signed?" And Maz said, "Yeah, sure." So they sent a shirt to this address, which I opened up, and there's a shirt. He had bought the shirt.
Yeah, didn't tell you.
No, there was no note, nothing. So I was
he
like,
bought out.
He could have told you that. You know.
Oh yeah, Maz could have told me preemptively, and
yeah,
seems like it would have been kind of natural for him to do that.
Uh-huh. Shit, yeah,
but he did not. So I think I even asked around, like, anybody know why somebody would send a shirt in? And
no one knew.
No.
Eventually, Joey said, I have no idea. It's not a wrong size, nothing I know about. And I think I gave the shirt back to Joey. And then time passed, maybe I'd say 6 weeks. And Matt said, oh, did you get that shirt those guys sent from the podcast I was a guest
Mother
on?
Mother effer.
And I said, I don't know, Maz. I got a shirt with no note, no nothing. And he said, oh, that was them. I said, well, that was a long time ago. I gave it to Joey. I don't even know where it is. And he's like, well, could you see if you can find it? And I was like, oh, man.
Anyway,
I asked Joe about it, and Joe said, let me just get another shirt. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay. So we got another shirt. We signed it. And that was, what, a month ago?
Probably a month ago.
About a month ago.
I'll say a month.
And yes. And I have asked Mark a couple times, why is the shirt still here? And you said?
Well, I texted Tom after the show one Tuesday, say, hey, you forgot your shirt.
Crap.
And he said it wasn't my shirt. I was like, what do you mean it's not your shirt? You asked us to sign. You asked everybody to sign it. Everyone signed it. And you left it here. And he said, it's Joey's. I'm like, I don't know anything about this.
Why is
Damn it
Joey's? Because Joey provided the new shirt instead of the one that the guy sent in?
What connection does Joe have to this show?
Well, Joe's involved in merchandise.
I know.
I that's the excuse he's using. But
Tom,
it seems to me.
Here's my point. Tom made the promise to the guys to get it signed.
Right.
Isn't it his duty to get the shirt to them?
It seems.
Just shut your mouth.
seems.
They're never getting the shirt.
I think they will get the shirt.
No.
It may be a while. But it seems to me it's his responsibility because he appeared on the show.
He made the promise.
He plugged the appearance on the show.
Yeah.
And then why should we have additional work activity? I mean, seems to me this has already taken up about 2 days, just keeping up with the shirt. Making sure it doesn't get thrown out,
yeah.
Signing it, the other shirt, all the concern, the question marks, Joey, who's this from? I don't know, checking his email. I mean, this really... Honestly,
all because Tom guaranteed you the shirt signed and then did no follow-through.
I'm not a crook.
No follow-through whatsoever.
And if you're part of the podcast, I just want you to know it's not your fault at all. It's 100% Tom. So that's why I would like to know how Kathy's mother became the person to pick up his parents. I think it'd be interesting to find out.
Yes.
If it's as simple as her volunteering, I'd be surprised.
You'd be blown
away. She was older than me, too.
Speaking of May-December relationships like you were talking about.
Yeah.
Did you see Mary Kay Letourneau crying?
Oh, my God. She's a horrible cry face.
Maybe
now.
The worst cry face in the history of cry
face. Wait, because Billy's dumping her?
No, because of the whole... Well, here's Inside Edition. They'll explain it. But oh, basically,
wait
whole,
to see this. This is breaking news to me.
You're going to have to more than 20 unsee years it.
Yeah,
then.
Just be prepared for the worst crying face.
Oh, can you pause a second?
Of all time. Yeah.
Okay, she's now... Is she like 55?
Is she that old now?
I think she... Well, she was 34 when he was 12, yeah. I think, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And then maybe...
I'll look it up. She's 56.
Okay. And so he's 35?
What's his name again?
He's 34.
Billy Fulau.
That's right.
Fulau.
Okay. I got the impression that he was getting ready to unload her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, didn't he file for divorce?
Yes.
He did.
School teacher Mary Kay Letourneau was sent to prison for having sex with a young student.
Hot.
Eventually, the pair married and had two children.
That's pretty
but
hot.
In a new documentary, Mary Kay still gets emotional
about
what happened, even all these years later.
Oof. It's a Mary Kay Letourneau breakdown.
Oof.
22 years after the scandal that shocked America, the now 56-year-old ex-teacher says she has no regrets about falling in love with her former elementary school student.
Sounds young. I get it. Was young. I get it. It's not how it's portrayed.
Nice. Both Mary and Billy Fulau appeared in a 2-hour special about their forbidden love story that aired last night on A&E.
People ask, how did it turn into romance?
Billy says he made the first move.
I asked her, I said, what would you do if I came over and gave you a kiss?
I accepted the kiss, you know. I did.
Mary Letourneau is 7 months pregnant.
After Mary became pregnant and gave birth to their first daughter, Audrey, she served 7 years for child rape.
Mary Letourneau is guilty of the crimes as charged of raping a child in the second degree.
In 1998, they had a second daughter, Georgia, who was born behind bars. In 2005, after Mary was released from prison, and Billy were married.
I now pronounce you husband and wife.
At the end of the day, it was a real love story.
Their daughters are now 19 and 21.
Am I sorry he's the father of my children and that we're married and this is the man of my life? No, I'm not.
One thing Billy and
Mary
Kay
would crazy,
not discuss
she?
Was their separation.
Do you agree?
They
worst crying face ever?
That was awful. That was horrible. I don't know if I could have stayed with her after seeing that.
We'll put that picture up.
Charlie. Is Charlie?
No, it's a five. Oh, it's Al! Oh, no, more conspiracy theories.
Al Fellhauer?
No, conspiracy Al.
No. Oh, heads up. Hello. Huh?
Hello, Drew.
Yeah. How'd you know it was me?
This is Alan. I was on the podcast yesterday.
Yeah, we're recording. We're recording right now.
You know what? I can call you back. So I just wanted to touch base about that Michael Anthony stuff. You were actually right. We were talking about two different things.
Boy, I'm going to give you some redemption on that.
You just made his day.
Yeah, I already complained about it on the podcast.
I'm sorry. We were talking about two totally different things. I apologize.
Okay, cool. What, did you listen to the podcast and go, oh, my God?
Yeah, I realized what you were talking about, like, after I had hung up on the phone.
Hey, Alan, I'm working on a conspiracy theory of my own.
Do it.
I have a conspiracy theory that there wasn't this roundabout way to Tom and that you just hit him up on Facebook and said you had some Kennedy information. And he said, we'll have you on.
No, he sold a car to my ex-wife's cousin.
That's a strong link.
Oh, wow. That may be the weakest link I've ever heard of.
Ex-wife's cousin.
You got an interview through him selling a car to your best friend's cousin's cousin?
No, my ex-wife.
Cousin.
That's even more distant than your best friend.
Next.
Wow.
Was this a quid pro quo to buy a car?
It was not.
Wait, are you friends with your ex-wife?
Next.
No.
Then how are you friends with her cousin's cousin?
Because I didn't do anything wrong. She did.
Oh.
Ooh.
So they all like me. They all know the story.
Oh, so the cousin and the cousin's cousin.
He hasn't
cousins.
Done anything wrong.
Yes.
Exactly.
With you. She's persona non grata, not him.
Are the cousin and the cousin's cousins friends with your ex-wife still?
I have no idea.
Alan, how much vetting did Tom put into the interview?
I didn't talk to Tom at all. Okay. I wasn't on Morning Joe either. So.
Well, yeah, you were. It's part of your
book. No, I wasn't.
You're Pulitzer.
You said you won a Pulitzer.
Well, you went over. I might have a Pulitzer, but I wasn't on Morning Joe.
Are you a published author?
No.
You went over your list of credentials.
Yeah.
No, I never wrote a book or anything.
Really? Would you think?
I was asked to contribute to a book at one time. But,
okay, so wrote a book versus asked to contribute to a book at one time. That's a pretty big difference.
No vetting so whatsoever.
What is your area of expertise or profession?
You butt out.
My area of expertise is the JFK assassination.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
My profession is, I work as I'm a design engineer for one of the tier one automotive suppliers in the area.
If I had.
Do you have any idea how much vetting that Tom put into Mike? Your ex-wife's cousin?
I have no idea.
Son of a bitch.
But his name is Mike.
Mike hates the Milanos at his desk. I know that.
So Mike just said, hey, this guy knows about the Kennedys. You guys should call him.
There was a post on the Drew and Mike podcast Facebook page of Bobby Kennedy, and somebody said something about Sirhan, and I replied to that, and I think they were talking about that, and my name came up.
Was it why his name is Sirhan, his first and last name?
I have no idea why that is. It's
okay.
Pretty weird.
Wait, I have to go a step further on the vetting or lack of vetting. Tom said you were an expert on RFK.
I think he just misunderstood.
Yeah,
or was it an avenue to talk about the Kennedys and Chappaquiddick?
It might have just been an avenue for him to do his RFK impression.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Chappaquiddick movie?
No.
Wow, he did no vetting. None. Zero. Less than none.
Never talked to him.
Get to the point. Never I don't really care about Ted Kennedy, to tell you the truth. I couldn't care less about him.
Van Halen is an area of expertise also. You seem to get totally into one piece of subject matter, and then maybe you move on to another. But is there anything besides Van Halen and JFK assassination that you consider yourself an expert on?
An expert?
Well, just something you've really dug into.
Oh! I know a lot about working out.
Oh.
Working out?
I can do that.
Cool. Do you look at yourself in the mirror when you work out?
How much you bench?
No.
How much you bench?
Yes, sir.
Last time I went really heavy on the bench, I did 330.
Whoa!
5 times.
And what do you weigh?
Right now I weigh like 200 pounds.
200 pounds? That's pretty good.
Just this last Friday at 2:23 p.m., I was benching, and I put up 350 pounds.
Yeah!
Yeah! Actual audio.
Fucking 285 pounds of muscle.
By the way, my brother emailed that he looks at himself in the mirror when he works out because he likes to see his muscles.
I do not
ripple.
I know, and that was my brother. I was
how disappointed were you that you share that vanity gene?
I was a little disappointed, but I don't know what to say. He just had
That's
a kid,
terrible.
So his wife did rather. So I don't want to rain on his parade just yet. It might come up at Christmas.
I did not know that you guys were doing the podcast. I just wanted to clear it up that we were talking about
fake.
Okay. No, I appreciate the call, actually. Yeah. The redemption feels
You made
better.
His day.
You are redeemed.
Yes.
So you
now,
got
hang
that
up the phone, all right? Because there's a lot of guys at the gay bar who need to use it, all right?
All right.
Hey, thanks for the time.
All right, I got to go. I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay, we're going to go anyway. See you.
Also, bye.
It's funny how it always happens. The day after we make 6 calls and aren't answered, we always get 2 back the next day, it seems like. Like yesterday, it was the daughter of Barney. Or was that day before yesterday?
We should call Barney again today for 4 straight days of Barney news.
Let's see. What would be the rationale for calling Barney back?
To let him know that his daughter called us. We could be made in contact.
We could also find out more about the grandson, the Pokemon collection that he was denied.
Oh, the 34-year-old that helps out around the house.
Oh, yeah.
34.
Oh, yeah.
Wait.
Can we get a name out of somebody and check her out on social media?
Well, get it from Barney. Have to call Barney.
She sounds hot.
Why isn't she dating his grandson, who doesn't help?
He's too busy working at the
sporting
goods
store. Yeah, he's so focused on his discount and on his job at the academy.
But not buying anybody anything. Because what did she say?
He will not share his discount because she thinks that's taking advantage of him.
Oh.
He does live at home.
Yeah.
Should have asked if he paid any rent.
That's a good question.
Yeah. It was an interesting conversation.
Maybe Barney would know.
She was very proud of him, though. You want to call Barney? Okay.
We don't have time now, but...
All right. Yeah, let's call Barney. Why not? How can calling Barney go wrong?
Well, we do have an interview in 23 minutes.
Oh.
There's no way you can do Barney in 23 minutes.
I don't think
minutes.
So. Well, I don't want to push it. There's other stuff going on, too. Did you guys see Brigitte Nielsen?
Yeah, congratulations.
What'd she do?
She is pregnant. Pregnant at 54.
Oh, no.
I felt like I deserved more of an explanation. They
we got to get you and that monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP.
I mean, they put the picture up on TMZ, yeah. And I'm like, wait a second. First of all, I don't believe she's 54. I think she's like 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want her to be pregnant at 54. I don't want to congratulate her. I just think it's crazy.
On top of that, hasn't she had some massive substance abuse issues?
Yeah.
That could impact. I mean, the DNA that she's passing on is going to be totally wrecked.
Is it
right?
Flavor Flav's kid?
Oh, there's that. I don't know whose kid it is. They didn't even say, did they?
She's got a new husband, right?
Really?
Mattia Desi.
Who's that dude?
Is his picture up there?
This dude right here. This handsome young buck. He's younger than her. I think he's like in his 30s.
She could totally use Zerona on those legs.
Oh, boy.
Look at him.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Ooh. I don't know. It just seems like... Is that a 54-year-old? Didn't seem... I hate to be a total dick.
Not ideal.
Yeah. It seems a lot less than ideal.
Oh, it's...
What was the record? Wasn't it a 59 or 63-year-old woman got pregnant?
Oh, boy,
that happened
know.
A few years ago.
Wasn't that implanted, though?
Yes, yeah,
it's
it was.
Not her own.
But she was like...
Pfft. Right.
Which is, I mean, when you think about stretching, I mean, that stomach ain't coming back.
No, absolutely not. No, that'll be down to her knees.
There's no rallying from that.
No.
Maria del Carmen Busada de Lara.
Okay, what's his mix?
Oldest verified mother, she's 66 years old. Almost 67 when she had twins. Here's the info dump.
Twins? Oh, my God.
Here's the comments underneath her tweet that she put out a picture. OMG, you're pregnant? You're like 100 years old. There's not many because it's pretty new, but then someone else wrote.
What's up, Silver Fox?
You posted a pic in January, not looking prego at all, and on a scooter?
She's on a scooter.
January. But she looks way more than, 5 months pregnant? I didn't know she had five. This is kid number five.
Yeah.
Are you telling me there's only two comments?
Yeah, but she, I mean, it's fairly new.
How many followers does she have? I'm just curious.
This was 4 hours ago she put the picture out. Go back.
She's got kids in her 30s.
Hashtag 18,000. Me. Hashtag family. Hashtag 2000. Bridget Nielsen. Hashtag baby bump.
Gross. Cool.
You know what? It's funny. When I first saw the story today, I was really confused. Like, Bridget Nielsen, where does she come from? I just knew she was somebody that I knew about, that I shouldn't know about, that I don't want to know about, that I've retained information about, that I wish I hadn't spent the brain cells on. And then
where did she come from? Wasn't she just Ivan Drago's wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, but she was married to Stallone. And
she was in Cobra, too.
And she was like 6 inches taller than him. She was in that Rocky movie. Her accent was terrible. She was doing, wasn't she Russian?
So it was
she married to Drago. Yeah. And she was absolutely awful. Just a joke. It was like, why is she in this movie? I know she's married to him, but couldn't she be a grip or something?
My mistake for going to Twitter. I should have gone to Instagram.
Oh, what's going on in Instagram?
There's a couple congrats, and then, damn, clown, think of the child for once. You're not 25. Getting kids becoming a hobby. And then another one. I'm a fertility nurse and an older mother who sees too many women face heartbreak and unrealistic expectations when they come for our medical facility because
quiet.
Celebrities are having children. There shouldn't be a
celebrities.
Celebrities should be more open about it. So this lady is worried because celebrities, you know, there's a lot of glorification of teen pregnancies by MTV, and now there's glorification of celebrity old people getting pregnant.
That is not the reason. Do you know how many hormones it takes to make that egg
that's a good
actually
point.
Viable? That kid is going to be busy. Oh,
oh,
my God.
To prove that nurse's point. Congratulations. At 41, I thought my dream of becoming a mother was hopeless. You've shown me that might not be the case.
Oh, great.
The other lady was right.
No, this lady's just going off on a fertility bender.
But that's fine with, wow, you look like a grandma, old and pregnant, shaking my head.
Oh, God, it's terrible.
In the Bible, they were older than this. I congratulate her.
Yeah, but the Bible.
Oh, God.
In the Bible, they were like 700 years old, but that wasn't a real count.
No. And then, see, here's someone's long sob story next.
What's next?
It's just a long thing about how hard it was for them to get
pregnant. Oh, that's the last
As
one.
As if Brigitte Nielsen's sitting there reading it.
I know. If we won't read it, who will read it?
Not Brigitte. That's all of them. Once again, 4 hours ago, there'll be more.
Who takes care of her brats, though, when she's...
That young dude.
Yeah, her husband.
You know who I confused her with momentarily? And this is, again, my poor brain having to absorb all these people for all these years. I confused her with Mark Gastineau's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Brittany Gastineau's mother. Yeah. And Brittany Gastineau has a new boyfriend. I mean, honestly, it's like, why?
Lisa or Joanne?
Lisa Gastineau, yeah. Who was... She was pretty. I mean, that was... And they had the Gastineau Girls show on E! For a while, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Brittany was the most spoiled brat bitch who now is... I think she got a clothing line and she's with some successful dude.
A clothing line? I've never seen her clothes anywhere.
She's got some... I don't know what she's got. She's got some crap she's touting.
Serious issue, Shell thought. Mark Gastineau, like, he was the biggest badass football player.
What happened to him?
Well, now he's crying on radio shows because he can't get any help for his head problems.
Oh.
It's like, oh, man. Thanks a lot, NFL. Here's this guy when I was a kid that was, like, the scariest badass defensive end, and now he's crying on a radio show.
Can I see Lisa Gastineau, Brandon? Can you bring her up?
Lisa? Yeah, here she is. She looks great.
Yeah, she does.
She looks fantastic.
She's all yours.
Oh, that's all right.
Can I have her?
She can be all mine.
Ew. Here's another comment.
What's wrong with Lisa Gastineau?
I don't want her. No, she's lovely. I'm just giving her to you.
No,
Mark did look like a beast.
Let's just say that Julie is crushed by a car today, or trash pant compactor, or something, and Lisa Gastineau's offered
to. I'm suing whoever did it.
No. What's wrong with Lisa Gastineau?
I don't know. She's not my type.
She's really. I think she's pretty. Is she just too. What is she? She's too. What is she too?
Phony.
Oh, okay.
Fake.
I didn't realize that part all came into it. Oh, I would know. I couldn't spend 5 minutes with her. If we're going on
I'm not just meaning her looks. I just think she's pretty. The whole package. Oh, she's okay. Is that her with her daughter in a nude?
Yeah.
Oh, that's classy.
What?
Yeah, they did several of these together.
Oh, cool.
Mother-daughter nudes.
Yay. They're best friends, and they are nude together.
Wow.
Who's that? you want to hear another congratulation to Brigitte Nielsen?
Yeah, sure.
Bitch, this is fucking gross. So much ass. You're too old, okay, for this. And then that same person follows it up with, "You about to die. What the fuck you doing having a baby?" Gross with five S's.
You're about to die.
What is she, 54? Is that what
we said? Yes, 54.
About to die.
Younger than me. I'm about to die.
You're about to die. Who is following Brigitte Nielsen?
I know. That's why I was wondering, because when you read a shitty comment on Twitter, I thought, she's on Twitter? Why would Brigitte Nielsen even be on Twitter? She never should have been in a movie. Stallone dumped her. Didn't she cheat on Stallone?
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't she up the thing, blew it up, and he's like, get out of here, you beast.
Yeah, and that's Stallone.
And that was the end of her. Then she became a drunk, and then she met
Flavor Flav,
which is like,
VH1
oh, really?
Show.
Brigitte Nielsen, Brigitte Nielsen and Flavor Flav?
That was so
what a lovely couple.
Foofy Foof.
Honestly, I thought that was, that did not look like a really attractive couple to me.
I'd totally watch those two fuck, wouldn't you?
No.
No, of course not.
I would not. First of all, his clock would be all over the place.
Well, he'd have to climb her. She's 20 feet tall.
She's huge. Huge.
His clock would be in her face.
She didn't age very well.
So,
she's about to die, according to Instagram.
I know. I think she might be. Childbirth.
Does Flav still have the chicken franchise?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Remember he came here?
Yeah.
Yeah,
we had him on the show.
He was
really nice. I like Flav. Yeah. I like him a lot. What is Flav up to?
I thought he still had the chicken place, but maybe they shifted it to downtown from the suburbs or something.
Flav's Fried Chicken.
Is it still around? The local one?
I don't know.
Oh, man, that sounds good.
Is Flav still... Is he out there touring? Is he doing something?
It's closed.
Aww. It is a bummer.
It's weird that, he became this big TV star. Mm-hmm. I know it's a cable show, but I mean, his audience broadened out so much, and then it just seemed like poof, he was not around.
There he is, tweeting yesterday.
Okay,
Flav's still around.
I mean, I'm sure he's got
his graduation.
I would imagine. Would you think he would need to tour? Does he tour?
I bet he does.
Oh, that's right. The last we heard from him, he got beat up in the Vegas casino, that video.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He's got merch.
Hey.
There's a Flavor Flav hoodie.
I bet he sells a lot of merch.
I bet he does.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But like no clock on it.
15 kids.
Flavo with the clock inside the O.
Oh, is it?
He has 15 kids?
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many he has. He has kind of a ton.
Did he marry someone from
the... Yeah, they're in love. He married something. The one that shit on the stairs. Remember that
chick? He didn't marry her, did he?
Oh, God, okay. No. Remember that chick?
Yeah, oh, I know.
Turd fell out.
Amazing. That's one of the
best TV moments of all time.
Yeah, that show actually was very amusing at times. He was funny as hell.
Flavor of Love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's that?
I was just showing you a one-star review from one of Drew's neighbors.
What? One-star review for what?
For Flavor Flaves.
What's his problem?
One of my neighbors?
Well, this was years ago, though, obviously, because I think that place has been shut down for a while, so this is a one-star from 2013.
That one-star probably did it.
Really?
Spoiler alert, this place is terrible. I consider myself a bit of a Yelp point fairy. I tend to review places I like. Well, here's the other end of the spectrum. Mm. And then it's really long.
Heavy.
He has 3 kids with the first lady, 3 with number 2. Then he has someone that's the mother of his youngest son.
Oh, he may sell merch, I guess.
So, yeah, just 7.
Okay. I thought his show, by the way, compared to Brett from Poison, Brett Michaels.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't Flav's show much funnier?
Yeah.
Brett kept pretending he was serious, and he was never. That show was such a joke.
He's very earnest.
Remember two
sincere.
Two chicks that won that show are from here. And the one chick, didn't she go on to date Shaquille O'Neal?
Huh? Are you kidding me?
I swear, yeah. God, and another girl got a spinoff. Remember New York?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bitch.
She was horrible.
I think
Whatever happened? Can somebody look her up? I'm just curious where New York is now.
I think the one girl that he chose that was from here, I think she's on a local ad for a chicken restaurant during Fox 2 News' 2 o'clock rerun.
Got to be kidding me.
No.
Which one?
I think
I know who you're talking
about.
The
first one. The one that was with Shaq. Yeah. I can't think of her name.
By the way, the first move is the toughest, like getting off the couch to go to the gym. But when the workout's over, you feel better and better about yourself. Just like I felt this morning. Worked out 7 o'clock with Matt.
Oh, my God.
I know, it was insane.
Wow.
And I thought, I'm going to have all this energy today. And about 9:30, I was like, oh, my God, I'm so tired. I wanted to crash.
Hit the wall.
Picking up the phone to call the Aldo Eye Center will make you feel infinitely better when you leave the office with amazing vision and the satisfaction and relief that you're finally done with glasses and contacts. A few dozen of you have gotten custom CATS LASIK or multifocal implants from Dr. Yaldo. Many have offered wonderful feedback about the incredible convenience being free of those ancient, poorly performing technologies. But let's hear from more. Custom LASIK and multifocal implants for people around 50 or older will most likely give you the best vision of your life, painless procedures, and actually solving the vision issues that glasses and contacts don't. Get your free evaluation. Get the Drew and Mike discount. 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. And Thomas Mazzaway, he's probably there now. It's Zot Ford. The famous spring fling is here. That difficult winter in Holly, Maz being part-time, having to shovel when he was there. It's finally over. Spring has sprung, and he's no longer part-time. He is full-time there. He has health insurance. And his mission is two-a-days to go along with Mags's two-a-days. I'm not sure who's really working harder on their two-a-days. Maz actually has been working some late nights. He almost had a hat trick the other day.
Really?
3 cars.
Oh.
Yeah, but one bled into the next day, so there was no hat trick. 2 deliveries a day. That's the schedule Maz is on now, and he's been hot the last week. Trying to get this party started, Zot Ford is assigning a lease on select new 18 Ford Escapes. Lease the all-wheel drive Ford Escape for $222 a month, zero cash due. And then they're dropping the price on select new 18 Ford F-150 Super Cab 4x4s, almost $13,000, which is 30% off, over 30% off, brand new F-150s. Boy, that's one of the best models most popular models, period. See, the scalding deals, a massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And one more. You know, I got an email I wanted to read about Luke.
Luke.
Another guy that's getting...
La, 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 Luke.
Very happy with Luke. He's getting help from Luke. Said he met. He knew it was a bummer because 696 was bad near where he lives, but he said he was cool, very professional, patient, going through all of our stuff. They're meeting again. And then, interesting. He went on to talk about how on the show, I had been talking about how these people that are rabid, either pro-Trump or anti-Trump, and I really think it's both. There's probably more anti-Trump as there was all the anti-Obama. And
oh, I'm sorry about that.
Says that he and his wife are polar opposites, but let's see, how does he describe it? He says, I am in the middle, maybe leaning right. We've always found a way to get along. When Obama was elected, I bitched for a while, but then I knew it was useless because I believe you suck it up and learn to live with the results. That all changed when Trump got elected. All her friends are left of Gandhi. Says, I'm not a crazy Trump supporter. I did vote for him because I thought he was a better choice, but now it's the point. I don't even want to hang out sometimes because he's just exhausted, weary. And I can imagine how that feels because, I don't know,
okay?
I would find it exhausting, honestly. If I was a partisan on either side, I'm in the middle and I'm exhausted by it.
Right. Yeah.
Really, honestly.
Just take energy.
It's tiring. And my wife is a journalist. Is this objectionable news reporting? She just says, turn on Fox and see what they report. Good point, honey. I agree, but there's no news station that will just report news. It's all personal commentary. Last night, some of her friends were upset about Roseanne. I agreed she should have been fired, but I asked him, what about Whoopi Goldberg's shirt with a picture of Trump blowing his brains out with the words, make America,
get out of here.
Make America great again. They explained, she's just stating her opinion. What the fuck? I can't win.
Well, that's a Photoshop picture.
Yeah. It's a fake.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
So he loses twice. yeah. Anyway, he says Luke's been a big help. And he, like me, is frustrated. I know what he's saying. He's not saying, I can't stand my wife. He's just upset because it's hard to be around all this. It just gets really loud. I don't know how people have the energy to be angry all the time.
I really don't understand.
On either side, because the people defending
just
are
like anything
just
else,
as
you're going to let it bother you as much as you want it to bother you.
Exactly.
I just don't remember going back to, boy, I have to go back a ways. Maybe I don't remember people not being angry. It just seems like they're more, aren't they more angry now?
No, there's
aren't people
just more
the
voices.
Angriest? Is it social? Is it just social media?
You watched 1968, right? You tweeted.
Yes,
you were
I did.
Was it 19? Yeah, that CNN
special.
CNN
show, yeah, it was great. Five parts.
It sort of illuminated how there were people seemingly as angry back then.
Wait a second. I want to say this about that. That many people have said, and I even thought the same thing, when Trump got elected and there was so much unrest, that this seems like 1968.
An echo, yeah.
Or the worst thing since 1968. In 68, of course, you had cops clubbing people all over the place.
Yes.
I mean, racism was a giant thing. I mean, it was a real thing going on in people's faces. I mean, people actually, George Wallace, who got 18% of the vote, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was, he said some pretty incredible things.
I know.
And he was like, I was watching, I was going, wait, I can't believe I was alive and a presidential candidate who got 18% of the vote was saying stuff like that. Really?
Yeah. And that.
Wow.
And scored the South and almost toppled.
Well, if he'd thrown into the House of Representatives, he could have screwed Nixon.
Screwed Nixon.
He was hoping to send into the House of Representatives. Yeah. And that was I love that special. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was really good.
Especially part five, open with the Beatles playing Revolution.
There was so much happening. It was insane in 1968.
Even the movies that year were, you know, The Graduate and Bonnie and Clyde. We were talking about
2001.
Yeah, 2001. Oh, mm-hmm. It's Michelle. There's no time like the present to review your plan for retirement to make sure you're on the right track. While it may take a lifestyle change, like cutting back on arm pizza or mac and cheese with .. saving a little now for retirement can have big results down the road. You don't look back years from now and wish that time travel speed was possible. Call Luke Nowacki. at 248-663-4748 to get started on the path to retirement. Security Investment Advisory Services. By the way, yesterday the market was down, what, 400 points?
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, on fire today.
Luke's talked me down a number of big market falls. He said, it'll be okay. I'm buying dips. Don't worry about it.
Well, he made a lot of money today.
Yeah, he probably has done very well on this. No, he likes the volatility because he believes in the long haul we're okay. I think if he didn't believe in the future,
well, plus he knows,
he'd be a lot worse. Security Investment Advisory Services offers Signator Investors and Card. Remember, FINRA, SIPC, Registered Investment Advisor, 28411 Northwestern Highway, Southfield, Michigan, 40034, 248-663-4700.
And as funny as it may seem, some people get their
and kicks. You are hearing That's Life by Frank Sinatra because we'll be talking to Michelle Rubini.
At the beginning, he kicked it off. There he is.
Who's the author of Life in the Key of Rubini. Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you. And you guys?
Great.
Doing great. Trudy's here, Mark's here, and I'm Drew.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi. How are you, Trudy?
Good. Fine.
Ooh, he's already hitting on
Hey, watch out for this guy. He's pretty well with the ladies.
He's a musician.
Exactly.
Yeah. Nice.
But I want to get my part out of the way, which is, Michelle, I'm a huge Wrecking Crew fan. I saw the documentary. And you got to work with Glenn Campbell and Hal Blaine and Carol Kane, right? All those great Wrecking Crew members?
Absolutely, for years.
Now, you're virtually one of the monkeys, right?
I virtually am, yes. I'm a virtual monkey.
Did you? I was trying to remember which songs they had piano or, you know, electric organ or whatever on. What songs did they have did you get to play prominently in? Do you remember any of the hits in particular?
You know, I'm not quite sure, but you know, I know that I played on the theme from the Monkees TV show.
Oh, that was good.
That's for sure.
Last Train to Clarksville?
No, that one they had recorded before any of my sessions with them. I came in a little later. I'm not sure who played on that one. I mean, it was some combination of, you know, the crew, but I wasn't on that one.
You know, it's probably funny for people to hear you say, us talking about songs and you having to rack your brain, but you have been on so many songs. I think you're on Pleasant Valley Sunday. I think you have a credit on there.
Well, that may be. I don't know.
That was
you
one
know,
of the...
A lot of times I don't remember, you know, a lot of the things that I played on, and I'm constantly being told by people, oh, yeah, I saw your name on this album. Or in other cases, I get a royalty check from somebody and it says that I played on this or I played on that. And I said, that's funny. I don't remember playing on that one.
Well, you're a session dude. And did you play on the Birds album? Because the Birds have some songs that were recorded entirely by the Wrecking Crew, except for the vocals.
Yes, I played on a few of the Birds things, not a lot of them, but I did play on a few of them over at Columbia Records, yeah.
No, I just...
And don't ask me the titles, I have no idea.
Okay, I won't. but I thought it was so strange, because the Birds, that's David Crosby, Gene Clark, Graham Parsons, Larry. I mean, those guys were considered pretty good musicians. Was it just the matter of speed and getting things done in the studio? Because I would just think they would have recorded their own music.
Well, they did record a lot of their own music, but they were being produced, you know, by they had a record producer who was responsible for, you know, making the whole album. So they were under budget and they had to get things done, and as far as adding an extra instrument, for instance, you know, the Birds are known. I'm just speaking extemporaneously right now. The Birds were known as a guitar band. You know, the most identifiable thing about them,
Rickenbackers,
the electric 12-string guitar. But when they needed a keyboard player, which they did now and then, they didn't have a keyboard player, you know. So the producer would call me, or they'd call Don Randy, or, you know, one of the other guys to come in and do the session with them. And so I would do that. I played with Frank Zappa, for instance. You know, Zappa had his own band, and he tried to use the guys in the band whenever he could, but when he started composing some of his very off-the-wall, odd music, they couldn't read the parts because they just they weren't schooled, you know.
No, it's so, just, I'm just so, amazed. So
they
that,
call me to play.
Well, it's just amazing in the case of the Birds. Like with the Monkees, I always heard that Mike Nesmith could play guitar and Peter Tork played some guitar. But, you know, when it comes to the Birds or something like that, it just surprises me a little. But then some of these other guys like the Righteous Brothers, of course they would need guys to play on. Did you play on Righteous Brothers hits?
Yes, I played on a bunch.
Unchained Melody, or you've got that Lost at 11 feeling?
Yep.
Cool.
No, you know, I didn't play the You Lost at 11 feeling. But I did play Unchained Melody. I played a Soul and Inspiration. What's another one? Oh, my love, my darling, hungry for your kiss. I have it written down someplace, but I don't remember exactly.
No, you have a. Anyway. It's a long, long list of songs.
Uptide.
Okay, Uptide. Yeah, that was a hit. Yeah. Not as big a hit, but it was a hit. And you played on so many hits. Who was I know Glenn Campbell is considered a great, great guitar player, and I'm not a guitar player, so I don't always know. But who were the best musicians you played with? Were they the Wrecking Crew guys?
Oh, well, yes. I mean, without a doubt, they were the best musicians in the world because they could literally play. Their specialty was playing anything that you paid them to play, and so. So one could do a session and play a jazz tune and then play a folk tune and then play a boogie tune, whatever it was, and you know, you just tell them what you want and they would do it, you know.
Did you see Standing in the Shadows of Motown about the Motown studio players?
No, I haven't seen it. But I was under contract to Motown for several years.
with the
I just haven't seen that documentary.
Okay, you should see that because those guys, I guess they aren't the Wrecking Crew, but they were pretty damn good.
Oh, they were great musicians, you know, and they were those guys were the guys that they used as long as Motown was in Detroit. But when they moved to L.A. and started sort of updating their sound, the guys. They didn't use those guys anymore because they lived in Detroit and they found a whole new set of players. You know, I was one of them.
Well, that's kind of the ugly part of, and there's a documentary on studio guys, and I'm trying to think, is the one that Billy Joel's band was in? Anybody see that besides me?
Mm-hmm. I remember you telling
us. Yeah, it was sort of ugly in a way because some of the guys that were such good session guys, they'd be done with a session and it's like poof, gone, you know, nothing to do. And a lot of, you know, even in the Wrecking Crew documentary, a lot of those people said, yeah, all of a sudden, you know, we were out of, it was like everybody went away from doing that and we had to find, you know, movie soundtracks to play, which is what you do. You wrote movie soundtracks, right?
Yes, I went on to become a movie composer. I scored my first movie in 1980. A tennis love comedy named Racket, starring Bert Convy and Linda Day George.
Oh, Bert Convy! If only Maz was here.
Oh yeah, but with guest appearances by Phil Silvers and Edie Adams. One of the worst movies that I have ever seen in my life,
except for the soundtrack.
but you know, the producer David Winters, he came up to me one day and. You know, and I was not doing a session. I think we might have been doing a Raquel Welch special, as a matter of fact, which he also produced a few of. And he said, "Listen, I'm doing a movie." He said, "I need a score." He said, "And how would you like to do the score?" And without getting deeply into the you know details of it, I said, "Well, sure. I mean, I had already written music for commercials and a couple of industrial films, so I knew how to write music, you know." For timing against film, so he said. Well, he said it'll be easy. He said it's just a pop score, and he said I'll pay you X amount of dollars, and that's it. You know, and I said okay, fine. So I went home and wrote music for a month. We had a day of recording over at Sunset TTG Inc. And on Sunset Boulevard, and at the end, he gave me a check. I gave him the tapes, and I said, "This is great. I don't have to make a record. It doesn't have to, It doesn't have to be approved by the quality control at Motown. It doesn't have to be promoted. It doesn't have to be passed on by a program director, you know, promoted to a program director. And finally, it doesn't have to become a hit. It's just play for pay.
Get X amount of dollars.
You give me money, I'll give you music. You know, I love that. So I said, I got to go get myself an agent and do more of this. Well, and that's how it started.
Michelle, we got to talk about the women, because the women, focus of the book, yeah, Raquel Welch, you almost sealed the deal with Raquel Welch before she was anybody, Linda Carter. But the most interesting one I thought was Joanna Moore, Tatum O'Neal's mother, Ryan O'Neal's ex, and a horrible addict. You pretty much saved her life with a lot of quick thinking, by the way. She passed out, you poured Epicac, and then soapy water, which... I like the out-of-the-box thinking there, Michelle.
Wow.
to get her to throw up, you drove her to the hospital. But all I could think of reading that chapter is, why did you stay with her? Because there were many episodes that followed.
Well, you know, why did I stay with her? I stayed with
pretty
her
hot.
She was hot.
He could get anybody.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when she was awake, she was
that didn't seem like it was that often, though.
She was unique. She was absolutely unique. She was a Hollywood star, and she acted like a Hollywood star. And she seduced me. I didn't seduce her.
Wow.
You know, and when she invited me up to the house, I don't remember if I told the whole story about how she invited me into the bathroom.
Yes, you did, and how opulent the bathroom was.
Yes. Yeah. And she was sitting there in a sunken tub surrounded by candles. You know, every foot there was like candles. And she's sitting there with a bottle of champagne and two glasses and with the bubbles just covering her, you know what?
Wow. Pretty hard to turn down.
How rock were you?
My God.
You were hard immediately.
Yeah, I was sunk. I mean, how can you resist that?
I understand.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then when you get to the point where you're pouring, you know, trying to get her to come out of her slumber.
Well, that was
a little exhausting.
Yeah, you know, I was a bit, okay, I think the answer to your previous question is I was a bit ignorant at that time. Huh. I did not know about first of all, I didn't know about her addictions, you know, to pills and things like that. And I didn't realize that she was taking uppers in the daytime. That's why she was so lively.
Well, she was on the Elvis routine.
Yeah. And then at nighttime, she was taking downers to go to sleep to counteract the uppers. And I didn't realize that for a long time.
Well, yeah, that's certainly a tough way to live and tough thing to be around. You know, did you see the trailer for the book, Michael? There's like a video trailer online. It's got, I think it shows you driving up in a, do you know that red car? Did you see that, Mark? Is that a,
I saw it, yeah.
What kind of car was that? Was that a Lambo or something?
I don't know. It's a 1995 Ferrari 348 Spider.
It's funny how you.
Thank you.
You can't remember certain songs. But.
Yeah, he didn't rent that. That is his car.
No, I didn't rent that.
Like some people we know.
Yeah. We'll talk about that some other time. By the way, the book is called Life in the Key of Rubini, R-U-B-I-N-I, and michellerubini.com is a site where you can find it, or Amazon or anywhere like that, and it's M-I-C-H-E-L, Michelle Rubini. And you go by Mike, too, don't you?
Well, that was the way I – not anymore, no, but when I was a kid, yes. And when I first actually started to get into the crew, when I was first making records, I was referred to as Mike Rubini. As a matter of fact, the plaque on this Walk of Fame in front of Guitar Center, where, you know, it's the Wrecking Crew plaque, has my name on it as, whoa, Mike Rubini, and not Michelle Rubini. God, I had such a hard time, you know, getting my real name back. Once Mike was there, it just stuck.
And oh well,
I was just really, really hard to get my real name back.
Well, the reason I asked about the trailer is because I thought it was funny. First of all, your father was a world famous violinist, and your mother was an actress, and you were classically trained. And in the trailer, they say Michelle was gifted musically and as a ladies' man. Yeah. And then they flash through the pictures of Joanna Moore and Linda Carter. They have a whole big thing where it goes Wonder Woman, And Raquel Welch, and I was so hot for Raquel Welch. I mean, that might have been my first crush in my life. God, that scene in what's the Morgan Freeman movie? Oh, Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, Fussy Britches.
Fussy Britches, he calls her. He's got that beautiful poster from 66. Yeah. And I wasn't sure how the Raquel Welch, Mark, you were talking about a minute ago. But
you almost closed the deal.
But you're forgetting one of the iconic faces and of that time that's in that trailer, actually, is beautiful Asian actress Adela Yoshioka.
Would you hit that?
Yeah, she's the first one. She's the first one shown, and I wasn't familiar with her. You know, I'm maybe a little too young to remember her. But what was she in? Or where should I know her from?
Magnum Force.
Magnum Force with Clint.
Every
that's right.
Every American boy has seen Magnum Force.
Yes, you're right. I did. Yeah.
No, when she came out of the bathroom, and you know, in that scene where he walks into his apartment and he sees the door is open, and he pulls out his Magnum, and goes into the dark apartment looking for probably a bad guy that he's going to shoot dead right away, and then she appears as a silhouette coming out of the bathroom with nothing on. That was the minute that. She made just history, you know.
There's a famous.
And she never would tell me. I asked her time and time again. I said, "Well, did you have anything on, or didn't you?" And she would just look at me and say, "Well, you know."
Now you when you were with Sonny and Cher, you played the private show for Jacqueline Kennedy. What year was that? And you were kind of taken by her. And I didn't know if it was because she was a Kennedy or because she was still pretty hot.
Oh. Well, no, she was more than hot. She was an icon, and she was gorgeous and
exquisite.
And more than that, she was gracious. It was the first time that she had come out of mourning and actually been out in semi-public since President Kennedy was assassinated.
You wrote that she was with an older gentleman.
I'm sorry?
You wrote that she was with an older gentleman, but you didn't say who it was.
Well, I don't know his name.
Oh, okay.
I would have mentioned
you didn't
it,
care to
I,
meet I, him. You were just all about her.
Well, you know, they didn't really care to meet me. And so here's Sonny and Cher, you know, in their furs and their leathers, you know, and their little bangles and all that type of stuff. And all the guys in the band, I mean, there was only five of us at the time. But, you know, we were all sort of dressed that same way. And they were attending a dinner party in the Waldorf Towers. And they were dressed up in you know, evening clothes. I mean, they had suits and ties. And this older gentleman that she was with, which certainly she had no, you know, relationship with, at least, I mean, on a
whatever
personal level. He was just an
possibly
escort.
His wallet, though?
Oh, well, definitely. You know, the lady who owned the apartment an owner of all the diamond mines in Africa or something. You know, so there was money just floating in the air that night. But there weren't enough chairs for them to sit down in the living room. The living room was really small, and so when they gathered to sit down. Jackie, instead of sitting in the chair and leaving her older gentleman friend without a place to sit,
whatever his name is,
she had him sit in the chair, and she sat down on the carpet on the ground.
Huh? How gracious!
And yes,
how submissive.
Exactly.
That's our Jackie,
and that was the type of woman she was.
We're talking to Michelle Rubini, I'm sorry, and it's michellerubini.com if you're interested in the book or Amazon or any places books are sold. I wanted to ask about Elvis. Did you record with Elvis? I know you were involved with a couple of movies, but I wasn't sure if – I knew you were in that scene. Was it in Viva Las Vegas or
– I was in two movies with him, Viva Las Vegas and Kissin' Cousins. A couple of really great Hollywood classics.
Hey, so many people have seen them. Everybody's seen those.
My godfather, Sam Kassman, was a producer of those movies. That's how I got into them.
Did you get to do a session?
I was very young at that time, you know, but that's how I got into those two movies, was through the back door, so to speak.
Cool.
But later on, I started in playing on some of his records. Of course, not all of them. He was already a star, and I was still, you know, 13 years old when he sang Blue Suede Shoes.
Oh, yeah.
But I know that I played on his Christmas album, which was, you know, like number 1 billion selling record or something. And I played on that and a few others.
How was the King to work with?
Well, he didn't even show up for the sessions.
Oh, really?
No, he wasn't even there. He came in and overdubbed his voice, you know, later on. We laid down all the tracks, and then he made time and came in and sang all the songs. That happened. I wasn't even there at the time.
But you were in a session with Frank Sinatra, weren't you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
And how Frank was pretty much all business, like a couple takes, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, he never wanted to overdub. He hated that. He wanted to sing with the band. I mean, that's the way he had always made his records, and he didn't want to change it. And when we did Strangers in the Night, we practiced the song for an hour. We had an 8 o'clock session downbeat time, and we rehearsed the song until 9 o'clock. We were told, you know, that he would arrive at 9 o'clock, and sure enough, 9 o'clock on the button, he showed up. And walked in with his entourage, and then we started doing takes, you know, 5 minutes after he got there, and we did 3 takes, and at the end of the 3rd take, he asked Jimmy Bowen, the producer, "Do you have what you need?" And Jimmy said, you know, and Jimmy said, "Yes, we do. It's fine." He said, "Okay." He said, "Then we're going," and he just got out of the vocal booth, said goodnight to me, and waved at all the guys in the orchestra, and just walked out the door.
He doesn't listen to playback?
No, he didn't listen to it.
Really? Wow.
He never listened to it. It was amazing. He just left, you know? And the guys, yeah. All the guys in the band, you know, had a break at that point. Jimmy gave them a break, so they all exited the room. And Jimmy Bowen came out into the studio and signaled to the engineer, Eddie Brackett, you know, play the song on the big speaker. So the engineer rewound the tape, and I was standing there with Jimmy Bowen because for not any other reason, because I was an assistant producer, and I worked for Jimmy Bowen at that time, in addition to being a session pianist. And so I stood there, and we listened to the song for the first time, you know, coming over the big speakers. And when it got to the end, you know, when Frank started singing Scooby Dooby 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 Dooby, Jimmy looked at me and he said, "What do you think?" I just said, "You know, I don't know what to think. I've never heard anything like this before in my life. Either it's going to be the biggest bomb that ever, you know, that Frank ever put out, or people are going to think it's just so hip. It's going to be the hippest thing that was ever recorded, and he's going to sell 1 million copies. But I can't tell you which one." And he said, "Neither can I," you know. But we saw what happened.
Hey, yeah. Michelle, Frank Zappa was a huge. I was deeply into Zappa.
Zappa.
And he seemed like he'd be the opposite of the chairman, where he'd be very hands-on, very, you know, intricately involved. And was that the case with working with Frank Zappa?
Yes, like I said, when I worked with him. The music that we were doing was, for the most part, really complicated, and the guys in the band couldn't play it. So the sessions I did with him, he would do like one song, maybe that was easier, you know, with just simple chords, and he had rehearsed it with the band, and they would do that, and then he'd get out the hard piece, and the guys would leave the room, and I would walk in, and the other session musicians, and we'd go to work working on this, you know, complicated piece of music with changing time signatures and all types of weird chords and things in it.
Like Yellow Snow.
And he was, you know, he was right there, you know, listening very, very, very carefully and doing what he does.
Not being a musician, all I thought was that it sounded very complicated. I couldn't tell you if it was, but I guess it was.
I wanted to ask you, have you ever seen the documentary Beware Mr. Baker?
No, I haven't.
because you were actually cock-blocked, happily cock-blocked by Ginger Baker.
What?
Yeah, you have a story about Rainbow Baker, and she wanted to get it on with you, and then Ginger busted in.
Oh, no.
But you were glad because you found out after he passed out that she was a heroin addict. But you did get a free massage out of it.
I did get a free massage. That's true.
So how freaked out were you? Because when he came busting through the door, the masseuse acted like it was totally normal, and you didn't seem terribly affected by it.
Well, I was in shock. I didn't expect that he was going to. I didn't expect that, you know, Ginger Baker was going to come, you know, busting through the door with this red hair just flying off of his head, you know, and looking around, he saw me laying there, and I don't know, he just started coming at me, and I said, oh my God, what am I going to do now? But she just slid in between him and me before he could ever get to me, and actually he wasn't interested in me at all. He was much more interested in you know, doing what he did afterwards.
Oh.
I'm not gonna say it, you know, on the air,
I think I know what he did.
Yeah. You know,
so that, you know, so
was that in Beware, Mr. Baker?
He didn't care about me. The drugs were much more important.
Yeah, Michael. Good luck with the book, or Michelle. I'm sorry. Life in the Key of Rubini, and it's michellerubini.com, and I know you're doing a lot for it, and I hope it does real well for you. It's fun. It's just fun to hear. I'm such a fan of the Wrecking Crew, and I just can't believe how many records you guys are on. It's incredible. I'm glad somebody's out there talking about it.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a blast talking to you guys.
I know.
We
didn't even get into Harry Nilsson.
Oh, that's right. I know there's an acid trip in there, and
he's one of your best friends.
Yep.
Oh, well, we should take just a minute for Harry. Harry is known as one of the most prolific partiers in the history of rock and roll. I mean, everybody.
Surprises me.
Lennon, Keith Moon, Mickey Dolenz, that whole, what did they call that drinking group with Alice Cooper?
Hollywood Vampires?
It was the Vampires, you're right.
Yeah. Were you part of that?
Well, no, I wasn't part of that. I was never a large drinker. But Harry loved to imbibe.
Hmm.
You know, there was no doubt about that, that's for sure.
Well, weren't you guys tripping, and that's when the whole idea for that crazy record came up, which is really a pretty popular record.
Yes, yeah, we were in Hawaii, and Harry had just popped some acid, and I ran into him in a little store there, and he said Rubini, he said, listen, he said, you know, come back to the house with me, you know, the condo that he was renting. He said, take some acid with me. He said, please. He said, but don't tell my wife because she's pregnant and she can't do anything and I can't let her know that I'm high on acid. I thought to myself, oh, that's great. You're going to be high on acid and you don't think your wife is going to be able to tell?
I'm sure she never suspected him of anything.
Never thought a thing about it, right? So I said, well, okay, sure. You know, you got it, I'll take it. So I wasn't always so cavalier, believe me. but it seemed to be the thing to do at the moment, you know, and so I popped the pill, and then we were sitting there, and he started telling me about this crazy idea that he had. And I was listening to it, you know, talking about the little boy without the point on his head and living in the land of point. And I thought he was just tripping completely out, you know. And as it turned out, you know, 3 months later or 4 months later, I was back in Hollywood and I was called to do a session. And who was it but a Nilsson session? And we were doing the music to the point.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought back to that moment. And I said, "My God, he actually did it!
Wow,
he did it on acid." I couldn't believe it, but there we were.
Yeah, he sounds like such a prolific partier. The way Alice described it was like you could go with him for a couple of days, and then somebody else would pick up, and he would just keep going. And it was just a matter of who was with him, and
right.
Just kind of a continuing chain of people. He just exhausts one after the other. But unfortunately, it sounds like it contributed to his early demise, possibly.
Yes, I did. It did. You know, if I had kept up with him, I wouldn't be here talking to you today either.
Well, Michelle, again, good luck with the book, and it's been a lot of fun, and it's fun reading about it too.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Been a pleasure, guys.
Thank you. Good luck again with Life in the Key of Rubini.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Have a great night. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
Well, I just want to see somebody do a doc on all these. That Nilsson stuff is cool. I remember that.
Yeah, he's on this song with Harry. This is from the Acid Session.
Huh. Wow. You can trip a project into being.
Yeah, the whole animated thing.
Man.
Harry Nilsson was a really talented guy. Most people know him for Everybody's Talking and Without You, but he had a lot of
Coconut
music.
Song.
Oh, yeah, the Coconut Song.
Oh, yeah.
There's another one, too. Isn't there another really big one?
Let me
not sure if it was a hit.
Let's Maybe see. He covered somebody else. Personal best. Without Her, As I Wander Lonely, 1941.
There's a documentary.
Everybody's Talking. Did you mention that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. From Midnight Cowboy.
Yeah.
By the way, did he, thanks for listening to the podcast, me, over the Frank Zappa thing?
Possibly.
As
yes.
I said, because it got really somber, and then he's like, as I said. I was like, God damn it.
Yeah, boy.
It's too polite to do so.
The amount of number ones, it's unreal.
That he's been on?
The Wrecking Crew in general.
Oh, Wrecking, yeah.
140 top 10 hits, approximately 40 number ones, and a lot of ones you know. I mean, holy shit.
Well, same with the Motown guys, Standing in the Shadows of Love, James Jamerson, the bass player, who was... All the great bass players talk about James Jamerson. I think he's McCartney's favorite bass player. And then Booker T and the MGs at Stax. Yeah, he played with Captain Tennille, didn't he?
That's him on there.
Oh, he's the captain didn't even play that?
No.
Captain couldn't handle it.
What a cheater the captain is.
Booker T and the MGs at Stax. They played on a lot of stuff. Isaac Hayes, Otis Redding, Al Green. Sam and Dave.
God.
And Booker T and the MGs, that, as far as a band, they really were more like a band, whereas the Wrecking Crew might have Carol Kane and Hal Blaine on this one. It might be Glenn Campbell and Carol Kane and another drum on the next one. I mean, there were some rotating parts. They were very busy.
Do you want to hear this part about Joanna Moore? It's a wild story. After he got the boner, because he walked in and she was in the bathtub, he mentions that, I came to learn that she had no preference for where she made love. The tub, the floor of her bathroom, the carpet, the love seats, the bed were all to her liking. They were all there for comfort and enjoyment, and we enjoyed them all.
Sweet.
So he mentions about how there's barbiturates in pretty much every drawer.
Oh.
It's amazing that Tatum O'Neal and
in, out, in, out, three
Redman,
times.
How they all have drug problems.
I know. Can you imagine how easy it was to get drugs at that time?
If you're them?
Yeah, because you just call a doctor.
She had barbiturates and amphetamine tablets stashed everywhere in drawers next to her bed and up high where her children and I wouldn't think to look. It was a nightmare, and she was a full-blown addict. The first crisis came one night when she fell asleep in bed in a sitting position with her eyes completely open as though she was watching TV. She was making a strange snoring, snorting sound that sounded like she was being strangled. I tried to wake her, but there was no response. She was barely breathing. It scared me to death. I then dragged her to the kitchen where she had some Ipecac. I poured that down her throat, and I mean the contents of the whole damn bottle, yet no reaction. In a panic, then I made up a mixture of kitchen soap and water and forced that down her throat as I could, certain that she would throw up between the medicines. But nothing happened. Her eyes were just staring sightlessly into the void. With no alternative, I threw her in the car and raced like a madman down the hill to the emergency hospital closest to her, Encino House. A group of nurses grabbed her, took her to the treatment room, and left me standing alone in shock and worry. After some time, the doctor came out and told me they had pumped her stomach and that she was lucky that I'd taken her to the hospital when I did. If I had been any longer, of course, they would not have been able to revive her.
I can't believe how much Joanna Moore, how Tatum O'Neal looks like. Joanna Moore.
And she's a little bit of Ryan O'Neal.
Yeah.
Like, they were attracted to each other because they looked similar.
Oh, you're right.
Kind of.
Definitely.
The hospital, by the way, wanted to they're like, we have to report this to the police.
What?
This is a suicide attempt. And he's like,
come on.
He talked them out of it because he was afraid it would ruin her career.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Michelle.
A lot of her party bombing, too.
It's pretty hot back then, too.
Oh, she sounded like a mess.
Okay. I'm kind of out of place. Funny, all these weird celebrities coming up tonight. Where's Tatum O'Neal? She was a wreck like 5 years ago. She got busted again. If she's supposed to be cleaned up. I think McEnroe had custody of the kids. Is she still a mess? I mean, it seems like she's not doing anything. Which
you only hear about her when she's a mess.
I know. Well, maybe she's just quietly doing well.
Don't
just Google her.
She did one episode of Criminal Minds.
Whoa!
That must have went well.
Recently, last year. So
you said it took 4 years? No, just kidding. I mean, she's getting up there, I'm sure. The sad thing is when you fuck up for 5 or 10 years between 30 and 50, all of a sudden you find yourself, oh, I'm not real in demand anymore anyway.
How old is her book?
The one, which one? Didn't she have a few?
Okay. I thought she had a recent autobiography or something.
I think she's had a couple.
But she tweets. I mean, that's a gig for a lot of people nowadays.
She
does?
Seems like a lot of retweets.
How many followers does she have? That would be...
Almost 50,000.
Tatum O'Neal has that many followers? That surprises me. I guess she's Tatum O'Neal. Mm. I want to mention, because, you know, this Roseanne thing is such a huge story, and there seems like there's a couple of stories that sort of go along with it. Is anything being made of the guy on The Bachelorette who has the stupid tweets about transgender people, the Parkland kids, and immigrants? Which, by the way, is that an illegal immigrants or immigrants? Because there's a difference.
Well, it'd have to be illegal immigrants, because who's against just immigrants?
I don't know. It said immigrants, and then another story said about dreamers, and I'm like, oh, really? Whatever. But I don't know. How far...
How does ABC not know this? Not to look into
it? I don't know.
Don't they vet these?
You know what's weird is they mentioned that this girl, Ashley Spivey is her name. She's a former Bachelor contestant. She's one of the girls, I guess, when there was a Bachelor. She had screen grabbed tweets from years ago, and I'm like, what is Ashley Spivey doing screen grabbing stuff from this guy, Garrett Rigoyen, and his Twitter from 2012 and 2014? What the fuck? Isn't that just...
That's pretty weird
it's
behavior.
It's like there's tattletales just running around Twitter looking to bust people.
Well, what if the person that they've been spending all these years saving screen grabs and then they don't do anything? I mean, so it's been a useless endeavor.
Well, I assume that she watched the episode and just started going through social media of these people just to bust somebody, and then she found somebody. She's like, look! She's not even on the show.
She wants to make sure he's there for the right reasons.
And also, she does live tweet the shows, so you can follow her during...
Oh, so that's her thing.
Watching. I see. Did anyone watch The Bachelor? I know, Brandon, you must have.
Maybe.
Okay.
How's your Bachelorette fantasy team?
Kristen didn't get in one this year.
What? You have a fantasy team?
She did a couple seasons ago.
Well, Brandon talks about this like it's so normal, and like he's just really very disconnected from it.
I admit I'd rather hear about that fantasy team than his baseball fantasy
team. I have to admit
team.
I think I would too.
Because him and Tom, Tom and you talked about your fantasy teams for way too long.
Corey Kluber had a great game today.
Brandon, did you have a favorite contestant on The Bachelorette?
Last night?
The Bachelorette, by the way.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
The male model.
Yes.
He was hilarious.
The Ken doll.
Oh, my God, was he funny.
Jordan?
He was practicing looks in the mirror. He's like holding his shirt over his shoulder.
I now know the color of his suit is, shark skin? He talked about it ad nauseum, so.
I missed that part because I was doing some stuff while I was watching. Every time he's on the screen, I laugh my ass off. Should we cue him up, perhaps?
Here.
Well, why don't you look for him?
I don't know who he is.
Look for him while I mention the other scandal of the day, which is that NoFX, the punk band, and we were talking about their book. God, I wish we got an interview from that book because, was it Big Mike? Yeah, Big Mike, and I'm trying to think of some of the other guys in the band. They're a punk band that's been around forever, and they just, you know, unlike... We've talked about the Cadillac Tramps because Maz turned me on to that documentary. We got the interview with the guy, and I got a couple of shirts, and I love that documentary. I thought it was really good. The NoFX book was also fantastic. So I went back and was studying up on them. And, of course, the book goes through their career. They were a steady punk band, you know, who would sell a couple thousand records. And then next thing you know, it's 10,000 records. And then it's 20,000 records. And then it's 50,000 records. I mean, we're talking like 20 years into their career. They just steadily built. And now, in recent years, they've played big festivals where they make a lot of dough. And Big Mike has his own record label for smaller bands and a lot of punk. But, I mean, NoFX is a pretty significant... I mean, wouldn't you say they're pretty big now?
Yeah.
But they've never had a label. They've always done their own thing. And that's what, interestingly, the dilemma of the Cadillac Tramps was, you know, do we want to do ourselves independently and just build something? Or do we want to get that big label hit and get some money? And they did. They got a two-record deal with... It might have been... I want to say it was Warner or somebody big. But anyway, their first record didn't do that well. They didn't like the way it sounded. It was like, wah, wah. And then the second record, the lead singer had fallen off the wagon. They had met in rehab. And so they were like the rehab band.
Oh.
But they were bad motherfuckers. They weren't like wimpy guys that went to rehab. They were like serious heroin junkies who were great musicians and found each other and started this really cool thing. But anyway, NoFX... They're playing in Las Vegas, and they play a song. I'm not sure what the name of the song is, but afterwards they said, hey, we just played a song about Muslims, and we didn't get shot. And then one of the singers says, hey, at least the people shot in Vegas were country fans, no punk rock fans. And somebody else added on to that. And, of course, this is now going around the world. Because
it sounds like a great one.
They were in Las Vegas making fun of country fans being shot at the, you know, the infamous 57 dead, 500 people shot.
Oops.
And so, of course, in the shadow of the Roseanne thing, I don't know if they picked the right day to do this or the wrong day to do this.
Maybe the right day. No one will remember.
Yeah, buried.
Well, unfortunately, people are remembering. And for NoFX, I thought it got a lot of... Because I thought maybe they could be under the radar with nothing.
Yeah.
It was really dumb.
Great audio.
Man, don't say getting shot in Vegas unless you're, I mean, if you're in a country band.
You know, it's...
Ooh, the crowd laughed. They're bad people.
But at least they were country fans, not punk rock fans.
Oh. Wow.
That's not cool.
That's what people were mad about?
I know.
They need a new sound man. That's what people should be mad about.
Exactly.
They're getting ripped on online.
Come on, Fat
Mike. Oh, I'm sure. No, but, you know, isn't that... I don't want to make excuses for people, but now that, you know, Artie Lang talked about it in comedy clubs, you're no longer talking to a comedy club. You're talking to the world every time you do your fucking stand-up. And here these guys are playing a show in Vegas. That looks to me like some fan was filming it.
Yeah.
And, oh, Mark's very amused by something. I don't know if he's going to share it with us.
How transparent is this? David Mahoney from the David Mahoney Show will no longer support NoFX.
What? Oh, my God. What a radical move.
On their Twitter, this is disgusting and callous. We will never support anything involved this band again.
Okay, there's also...
I got to say, how much NoFX did they play and how much did they really support them?
They get, as far as I know, they get no radio play. I would bet they get none. There is a radio station in Las Vegas that is vowing that they will keep them from getting any more gigs in Las Vegas ever.
But you can take a stand on radio against a band that you don't play and make the news.
Yeah.
That's the formula now.
I know. That's just it.
Reed Cowan of a TV station there said, to this band, NoFX, who thought it was okay to joke about this, getting 58 killed and more than 500 wounded on hashtag 1 October. I say this, go to hell! Don't come back to Vegas.
Okay.
Well, my, what a powerful response.
Pretty easy.
I'm not trying to make light of it. It was a dumb thing to say.
It was stupid, sure.
But, you know, the reason I was curious about it was because, of course, it's in the shadow of Roseanne. And also, it's not really something to make. I mean, that's a really dumb thing to make fun. About as dumb as they come. Brandon, did you know the school shooting video game?
Yeah.
Already nixed.
I did see that. Not just the game, but also the publisher, Valve, who owns Steam, decided to get rid of it. But I'm sure it'll pop up somewhere.
Why are you so sure?
Just because the developer will be able to put it out somewhere. I think
you're hoping it comes back.
I'm definitely not going to play that game. The graphics are terrible. And it
is graphics are terrible?
All the sprites, all the characters, they all look the same. They don't even have any individuality whatsoever. There doesn't even really appear to be a point or a plot of the game aside from you're either the shooter itself or a SWAT team member who's supposed to take the shooter out. So it just doesn't appeal to me.
The people running away?
Pardon me?
Is there that element or?
If you can be one of the civilians?
I don't know why.
I don't play that game.
I don't know why anything would shock me anymore, but I was like, really? A school shooting video game?
The video games, the movies, the internet stuff, I get to see things that you'd be amazed at.
Don't you think that's all just to attract
to get attention?
To get like a burst of
I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. I sometimes feel like I can't judge anything anymore. I don't know. I'm just so baffled. First of all, I can't imagine a guy going, I get a great idea, shooting up schools in a video game. And people go, oh, my God, that's great. And actually coming up with the software and the plan, the design, all that stuff, and spending money on it and thinking that, oh, this will be huge. And then, you know, people either deciding to play it or being outraged or whatever. And then people being disappointed that, what? They're taking it away?
David Mahoney, a response to their tweet.
Yes.
No, FX is awesome. I'm sure they'll mourn the loss of a pair of corporate radio station hosts. They replied to that person. And we will deeply mourn the loss of a washed-up band still trying to be punk when they're in their 50s. So edgy. They reply to that guy. There's a couple other people that are like,
okay, hold on.
I love NoFX.
First of all, the person that originally responded so nailed it. So absolutely nailed it. A couple of punk guys in their 50s.
That was David Mahoney, yeah.
Okay, first of all, they're a very good punk band. One of the best, one of the most in demand. And they're guilty of ageism.
They have one. This show has one follower that we know.
Really, Mr.
Skin?
Oh, okay. So it's a Skin approved show.
Yeah. So it's I'm cool with them now.
Skin will be on any show.
Oh,
and I don't blame him. Skin has people in virtually every market. I can't believe the shows. Skin was making an appearance at a show in Madison, Wisconsin. I was like, Skin's in Madison, really? But you know, he's getting his brand out there. Ever since I became a member of MrSkin.com, I cannot believe how much email I get from Mr. Skin. Women nude in cars.
Really?
Yeah.
There's
women in every position, place, and circumstance ever has landed on my email. And I just click on it, and there's nude women in cars for whatever reason. I mean, usually they're getting it home, but nude women in water.
Wow, he's a genius.
He's pretty good at coming up with themes, that's for sure.
Compartmentalizing these things.
Yeah, he does. I want to get to the male model in a second here, but just to kind of wrap up the sort of the tabloidy stuff of the day, we didn't get around to Paris Jackson yesterday, who allegedly threw a fit at a, you know, Dior, I guess it was Dior that signed her as a model, which I've rarely been more outraged.
So you're not going to buy Dior products anymore?
No, I am absolutely...
Well, there goes half your closet.
I know. I was so sad to throw
He's
it out.
He's out on his front lawn cutting up all his Dior.
I had to take a stand. So,
just like David Mahoney.
It's such a joke that Paris Jackson would be a model. She is a total... First of all, she's a mess. Nobody should sign her to anything.
No.
Because she's a mess. Three suicide attempts, cutting, walking on a 70-story building. She's stumbling along the top of the building. And then she falls into her fake girlfriend's arms and they make out. And on and on
nice.
And on. But she's against white supremacy.
Scissor me tampers.
If you remember her speech. Can we play her speech at the MTV Awards? Can you find that Margaret Brand's kind of cute on her? Well, you don't want to, whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
What award show was it?
It was the MTV Awards when she came out against white supremacy, which was a bold move.
She is.
She says she's black.
Our impact?
And everybody
it
knows.
Would be
her
huge.
Dad's the dermatologist.
While presenting best pop
video,
I would
be amazed. Oh, she had the raw.
By the way, Dior's former spokesmodel was Charlize Theron. They've, what are they, like cutting way back on the budget?
Yeah. Hmm.
What a bummer.
I can't.
I'm sure Paris is.
If we were to all stand up united as one, our impact,
yeah,
it would be huge. Believe me. Huge.
Huge?
Oh, I'm really sorry. I'm embarrassed.
She said huge?
We must, yeah, like, show Trump, these Nazi trying to make a white Trump supremacist joke. Jerks.
The crowd.
In Charlottesville and all over the country that as a nation with liberty as our slogan, we have zero tolerance for their violence,
the most loving
their
thing
hatred,
to do is to share
and their
your
discrimination.
Juxtaposed to that, it sounds even more ludicrous.
The most loving thing to do is to share your bed with someone.
Come on, Paris. Share your bed with a white supremacist.
Or with a child.
Why?
Or with a dude.
With a 12-year-old girl.
Why are people mad at her for appropriating, like, Rachel Dolezal?
I was thinking the same thing.
Well, she is black, Paris. Her dad's black.
No, her dad is a dermatologist. What? He borrowed sperm from Arthur Klein.
Oh,
he did. He said, I loaned him some sperm, which is like, wait, do people pay back sperm? Do when people get some from a sperm bank, they have to put some back in?
I paid it back with interest. Just delivered a big...
She is not black. Yeah. She's not even...
The Jacksons are suing ABC, by the way, for the special last week.
Oh.
Because...
Could that PR special, you mean, for Michael Jackson?
Exactly. It made him look fine. I mean, besides the stuff he did, it didn't make him look that bad.
The doctor, the drugs.
But they always sue.
That's not, guess why they're suing?
For copyright?
Yeah, they played some of his music.
Oh, okay.
Which they'll lose because it's a news show. It's all fair use. So what a waste of time.
Well, that's.
Have fun with that.
The Jacksons. I mean, how many times have they been sued? How many bills have they failed to pay? How many people have come after them for money? It's
45 minutes.
At least 45 minutes worth of people.
I am now. That unit of measurement is always, and I'm trying, mm-hmm, it's like everybody trying to, you know, get fetch to
doesn't,
work.
Doesn't,
I'm trying to get one Jackson is 45 minutes.
I feel like so many things, there's so many times when I want something to take 45 minutes, and I say, it'll be about 45 minutes. I don't know, it does
45
seem like
minutes.
Something to 45 minutes. I don't know if it's Jackson has infiltrated my thinking or.
It's a good unit.
Do we both say it?
It is a good unit. But Paris Jackson, okay, after the outrage of being signed by Dior, which, yes, can you imagine all the really hot girls going, Paris Jackson! Anyway, she makes a huge stink because she says they are whipping and taking advantage of and torturing animals, and she storms out of this modeling competition, what it was, some runway deal, and gets all this attention for it. And Dior comes out and say, no, there was no torturing animals. She was angry because it was raining.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Apparently her hair was getting wet. She's having trouble getting her shoes off. I don't know. But
it's hurting me very badly.
She said there was nothing, the torturing animals thing. By the way, nice thing to say about the company that signed you to a contract you didn't deserve.
Yeah.
And by the way.
My shoulder.
Horses being whipped, though. Aren't they used to being whipped? Not that I espouse
it. Horse racing they are.
Sorry, horses.
Yeah, was it horses?
Were they really being whipped though, or just taking
her word
for it?
No, they weren't being whipped. No, they weren't. Dior said, "No, that's appalling."
I would think if one place would be overly cautious about animal abuse, it would be something like a fashion show.
Well, I think she's been.
Although there's probably plenty of leather on the wrong one.
She's been fairly roundly refuted. I'm not sure the fashion
fur.
I'm not sure that's.
Never mind. I take that back.
That you want to complain about animals?
Yeah.
Because of. You know, they generally want to wear all the clothes, all the options they can to make these beautiful fashions. But anyway.
Doesn't that stink of her not measuring up and they booted her so she made up an excuse to
be
outraged? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But like Drew said, nice shitting on, you know.
Yeah, a company that
employer.
You never should have been employed by in the first place.
Right, but she shit on it because they fired her. But
they
no
even,
one knows.
They didn't
that
even
part of
fire
it.
Her. Is she? Is it over?
In my head,
they're like, they made it up.
Well, personally, I have a hard time believing they would want her at another event after she stormed off because she was wet.
Ugh.
Got a few raindrops on her, and she couldn't get her shoes off. But also in the Jackson world, Jermaine Jackson's ex-wife.
Goddamn shoes.
Or soon to be ex-wife is suing him for $35,000 a month in support. Because she says he makes $50,000 to $500,000 a month, which I'm going, what?
No way.
No, I don't believe that.
No.
She says she makes $600 a month, and she had to sell cars to pay the bills. Now, how many cars did she have that she could just start selling cars, plural?
Maybe she meant she had a job at a dealership. She was selling cars that way.
I don't think that's...
Oh.
Oh. Wow, that didn't even dawn on me. But
you mean selling their own cars?
She's making $600 a month selling cars. I think she'd be like a dealership. And she said that her job was to be by Jermaine's side.
I mean, it's actually my car, but I bought it for her.
Amazing how often that comes up.
Jermaine. I mean, it's my car. I pay for everything around here, right? Well, whatever's going on over there has got to stop.
She also needs money to pay for treatment for a domestic injury caused by Jermaine in a 2015 domestic incident, which, by the way, she was arrested for.
Nice making us take Jermaine Jackson's side, bitch.
I know.
Come on.
I was amazed at the thing. I'm going, I'm supporting Jermaine Jackson in this. There's no doubt in my mind.
Don't you hate how
him.
Often that happens where you have to support a side you don't want to support?
Well, idiots end up with idiots all the time, and you're forced to take some idiot's side. It's terrible.
The worst.
And Frances Bean, that jackass musician that she married, who tried to sue her for all this money to raise his kids with another woman, and who won, and this really does repulse me, Kurt Cobain's guitar from The Unplugged, which some people, I read up on, some people are saying that's one of the most valuable instruments that could be available.
Can
on
we,
the market.
As a human species, just agree not to buy it from him?
Wouldn't that be cool? Don't you wish we could do that?
But, you know, there'll be some asshole pay $100 bucks for it.
He'll go, I'll give you $100. I'll give you $10,000. And then he'll resell it for $3 million. Assholes.
Well, what did he do now? Who's he suing?
He says that Courtney Love was trying to kill him to get the guitar back. So he's suing Courtney Love.
She's a murderer.
She wanted to murder him.
It wouldn't be the first person she murdered.
It's true. Or the first she was accused of murdering.
Oh, she totally murdered Kurt.
All right, so how about this male model, Brandon? I thought this guy was very amusing.
There's just a couple things I need to show you because he is ridiculous.
He's a douchebag.
What's this dude's deal?
He got made the cut too.
Yes.
It looks like he's going far into the season too. By the end of the show promo,
this guy is a male model. Just picture the generic Ken doll, but he's a little weird.
Hello.
Oh, he's so handsome. Look at him.
Hi, how are you?
Jeff, how are you?
Good. I'm Jordan.
Jordan, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Jordan.
Doing really well.
You look so nice.
Thank you. You look great. I was not expecting this color. It's perfect on you.
Thank you.
Zero.
I'm already having a great time. So.
God, that's what I like to hear.
Good, I can't wait to see you inside.
I look forward to talking to
you
more.
Bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Got some fun shoes.
I wanted Becca to hear the tapping of the shoes I wore, such as like a heartbeat of a gentleman. You know, hopefully, you know, the fashion does make me unique. How's it going, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Jordan.
Connor.
I like the hair, man. Nice to meet you.
I like the suit.
Thank you. I spent 6 hours hand-selecting everything.
That's pretty serious.
Paid off.
Look at him.
Yeah, hopefully. Just by me wearing gray, I will stand out.
Oh, you are gorgeous.
Super intelligent, sexy.
And then he pops in like, I don't know, probably...
Oh, look at you. Look at this. Oh, look at him. He's gorgeous.
The show loves him.
Every couple minutes, he keeps popping in, but I think he had...
Oh, he's so handsome. Look at him. Just look at him.
He got into a minor beef with the guy who wore the chicken suit.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
He's going to get into more beefs, too, as the season wears on.
Basically, the entire this season on The Bachelorette, the whole thing... was that dude getting into fights.
Wow.
Why is that ass weird? Now I'm defending the model guy because I hate the chicken guy.
I know. Every year
I think I'd take the chicken guy's side in this, which is ridiculous.
Oh, boy, really? He wore chicken
pretty
suit.
Sure. I got to see it.
Doesn't make any sense.
Oh, and it was every... What is this, a pony?
Every time the model was on there, I perked right up. I was like, oh, what's this guy doing? Otherwise, I wasn't paying that much attention.
And then he did end the show, too. I think it's right.
Yeah, he's in the final closing credits.
God damn it.
He's irresistible.
You're in trouble queuing it?
Well.
Come on, buddy. You can do it.
It doesn't help that this show is like 9 hours long.
Yeah.
How did Kristen like the first episode?
She said, you know, we're only a half an hour in, but I got to stop it here. I got to go to bed. And then.
And you watched the rest without her?
And then every time there was a. Every single time that there was like a commercial break, she was like, one more.
And you said, because you were watching, you said,
look at that.
Kept waking her up.
So, who do you
just look at that.
What's your prediction, Brandon?
oh, early on I would have said that Garrett dude, but those tweets.
Those tweets, I don't know.
Becca's a cool chick.
That's right.
So have you guys got to talk to Becca?
I have not. You got a game plan? What's your game plan?
To be me? I mean, come on, yeah. Of course they got a game plan, yeah.
Good. So what's the game plan?
For what?
Taking your time, waiting. Yeah.
It's going to be all right. Yeah. Yeah. Some guy's getting arrogant. Oh, you didn't go talk to her?
So you're fine with not, you know, and they're talking with her?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yeah, man. I'm with you.
You're wearing a chicken suit, dude. Don't talk to me. You almost got feathers in my coffee. Just stop.
Oh, what an asshole.
All that great looking, though.
Who is the? No, I don't think so. Who is the game plan guy? Why is this guy asking about his game plan? Shut up!
You almost got feathers in my coat.
People take this very serious.
You don't wake a sleeping dog. First of all, he's doing a shitty job. You don't wake him up.
Who's the one that looks like Constantine?
Oh, that's a beautiful dog. Oh, just look at him.
Oh yeah, there is a dude that's got these luscious, huge locks.
Every guy has like a perfect.
That guy.
You notice everyone has a perfect part. It's like Lego hair.
Situation I know has a fake part on Jersey Shore. He's really into his part.
All right. And then the show kind of wraps up with that dude again because he's, I don't know, he's funny.
Not there for the right reasons.
He might not be. He might be there.
Did the black guy get a rose?
He might be there to boost his
modeling.
How many black dudes around here, Brandon?
I think half the guys are African-American.
Really?
Yeah. I was going to say when she was getting introduced,
gave roses.
Like, she must have said, I like black dudes, because there were a lot of black, a lot of black dudes.
You gave it to a black guy?
It was a producer.
Connection with her, you know? And most people know right away as soon as they see someone if they can date them, so I know I do. You know, my brain goes through this whole analysis thing. Yeah, I don't have to see the face of a girl. I immediately know from her energy. It's pheromones and science.
So how do you feel about Becca's first impression then?
Becca's great. No, I you know, Becca is, she's got a better energy than I thought. She really, truly has a presence. That's going to kind of ting off the walls of my brain, you know? It's kind of like a little bit of internal affairs going on, you know? It's great. I have a lot of love to give. And so my love sits on a little pot on top of the oven, and it goes... We didn't pull the sail up to go into a sandbar. I'm full sail ahead, so like my heart gets warm. It really, it really just melts over. There's potential for that. I truly believe that. So, and then next thing you know, the pot's screaming, and it's time to pour some tea.
Stay completely in metaphors.
Speed ahead.
It's like he's trying to make a really powerful statement.
I know.
Yeah, so he's going to be the Chad. He's going to be that dude of this season.
The Waboom.
Wasn't there a part, Brandon, where he got angry because his face is how he makes his living or something?
He did mention that his face is the moneymaker, but you know what? I think that was in the this season.
Oh, okay. Mm. Should we watch this season? That's always kind of amusing. I mean, there's a lot of tears. I'm just going to warn you guys.
I hate you so much. I just want to smash your face in.
And he's in the this season, too, of course. He's an instrumental part of the season.
And this one has a lot of NFL players and sports analysts and stuff.
Yeah, the former Lions on here.
Hey, one of those former NFL guys that we were talking about after the show was dating that Allie Reisman gymnast.
What?
Yeah. Oh, is he the one that tweeted at her?
She's like 14 and he's 25 or something.
The virgin?
Wait, there's a virgin on here?
Yeah,
he claims he's a virgin.
It's the football player.
Yeah, the guy that played for the Chargers.
Really?
Well, he never got in a game, but
sayonara, buttface!
He's on the roster. But he said he's willing to fuck her, though.
It's an unbelievable
romantic.
That
was kind of interesting.
I hope
he
that
did,
guy...
He did. He said, I'm a virgin, but I just want to let you know I'm not waiting for marriage.
He's like, I'm a virgin, but if you want to fuck, I will.
Doesn't that make it even worse then? Like, he's just been trying to and no one will put out
I thought
for
it
him.
Was... I really had to think about what he said.
Adventure.
It's very thoughtful.
After everything I've
been virgin or an incel?
Huge fear I could have.
He doesn't look like an incel.
But right now, I'm only looking ahead and only looking at the future.
I'm bummed out. I don't like Becca. I don't know why. She bores me.
Becca, she's pretty hot.
Such a dream come true. She's a wholesome person. She's got the look. She's got the smarts. So she deserves it all.
Shut up.
Well, it's the best birthday ever. And I literally felt like I was flying to the moon on the wings of a Pegasus.
Who talks that way?
Real man.
It's incredible that Ari let Becca go. She's an amazing woman.
And I do see myself falling in love with her.
I know that I want somebody to have my back and to stand by me. And that's
A bad tweet, guy, isn't it?
It's coming from my genuine
Garrett
place.
Him?
And I'm not falling in love with
you. Yeah, Garrett's
I can see my husband in this group of guys.
Really?
It feels good. It feels good to fall in love.
I am falling in love with you.
Becca,
I'm in love with you.
I'm so beyond happy and glowing from the inside out. I feel like I can't get the smile off my face.
Wait, why is she crying?
What am I doing?
Are you okay?
Trudy, what's going on?
Jeez, why don't you cry about it?
I just did what Ari did to me.
What?
Oh, it's that
she
again.
She told two people she's in love with them. That's what I think she did. That's what Ari did to her.
Disgusting that someone would do that.
She's reliving?
But it just shows what kind of liar she did the same thing. Lincoln is. And I'm really hoping that Becca sees the lies. I can't sit here and act like everything's all good and dandy. You are a pathological liar.
Ooh.
You're worse than Ari, dude. You're worse than Ari. What the f*** is wrong with you?
Jordan is not here for Becca.
What do you want
to
do?
Jordan is here to boost his modeling career. It's funny to be a joke. Because guess what? Attached to me is professionality. It's my face. So if you want to try to wreck my image, it's actually pretty serious. He's definitely
what are you talking about?
No, Zoolander.
You were worried about being intimate with Becca.
Yeah, I'm nervous as because I've been hiding something from her. I was ashamed.
Who's that turd?
That's the virgin guy. That's a football player right there. He's what? About to
tell why does he have... Why does he talk like this? Because he every time he had a voice.
Christian's voice.
Is that like the male version
of
vocal fry?
Did a lot of heroin.
Yeah, definitely.
They've done a lot of heroin. Heroin people talk like that, don't they?
Definitely vocal fry.
They talk more like...
Great sleuth.
Peripheral in your...
I used to have a pretty bad habit, but I've been doing methadone for the last 3 years.
This is where he admits that he's a virgin, but he's willing to throw that off.
Oh, boy.
And I've made up lies because I still am. I am a virgin. I want you to know, too, like, I'm not waiting for marriage. I'm waiting for the right person.
Colton comes to the table with a lot of fabricated I'm not even sure that Colton's still a virgin. There's no way. Did he hire Steven Spielberg to write his story?
Get it on.
That's a good line.
Cheers to you being a bitch.
This is a lot harder than I thought it would be. I mean, like, I am so pissed. Ooh. I just want them to be
honest.
They're
crying.
Everyone's crying.
I don't know.
She was so angry.
And I'm so pissed because...
She was so angry.
I only am asking for honesty from you guys. That's all I want. And to not get that, I feel so disrespected. Ugh. And I'm so upset with
Worst
him.
Episode
and it's scary.